Well, I'm not hearing that at all. Are you guys hearing it?
Nope. Not even a little.
It's funny because we heard it. We heard nothing but that before the show started, and now it's not playing at all. This is 2 days in a row with a stellar opening.
No, this is good. I like it.
Michael, any thoughts?
But it's the same opening as yesterday, right? You played the Friday open yesterday?
Let's try it again.
So let's just, everyone just remember what happened yesterday.
Yeah, that's not playing at all, guys.
That.
What do you think?
You know we're on the air.
No, I do know we're on the air. That's why I'm
trying. What are you doing with the, what do you think?
That's
turning
what,
around,
I'm
miming
our,
to the crew back
engineer
there.
Guy.
Well, we have to move forward. We can't wait around,
right,
man.
But I'm saying it was working.
But it's not working now, Bean.
Just
no.
Just
life is
forward.
For the living.
Jeez.
Am I lying? Wasn't it working all day long?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
you know what?
Now
it's
we got nothing.
It's too late now. We're not going to play it.
We're less than a minute in. We can still go back and play it.
The moment has passed.
But this is going to be a long-ass day if we got nothing, no audio coming out of this at all.
Thank you. Yeah, we got Bean.
What do you think's going on?
I don't know.
See? Look.
Yeah.
See?
This is fascinating radio. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday morning, broadcasting live from San Diego, California, home of the legendary International Comic-Con. I'm your host, Ralph Garman. I don't know who these other two clowns are, but they're busy fumfering around with a computer. So let's get on with the show, shall
excuse
we?
Excuse me for being surprised. That's all I'm saying.
No, I'm not blaming you for being surprised.
Just handle it better.
Yeah. Just stomping on the brakes in the middle of the freeway and fishtailing does not help the cars behind you, is all
what,
I'm saying.
What do the 5 a.m. listeners really deserve, right?
All that we have.
As far as I'm concerned, you know what this is, Kevin? Kevin, Ralph, whichever one you are. This is this is the super lame ABC red carpet warm-up pre-show before the Oscars. People tune in at 6. That's when the show begins. That's the Oscars.
Oh,
this is just the stupid bad interviews with the B-list celebrities.
Well, everyone listening right now, 1-800-520-1067. Call
That's
up
nice.
And give Bean an assful of your attitude because
all
he
right.
deserves it.
I got a story to start with then. We will move on to the show because you know how I love the awesome stories at this time of day. Do we have time? Can we do a story?
Sure.
Oh, we had nothing but time.
Nothing but.
We had no intro. That bought us a lot of time.
Now that the interesting banter between you and the engineer,
now you,
the silent engineer has been going on.
You guys will have to tell me if this is true because a lot of people like to clown on Craigslist ads. They put something up there just because it's crazy and they're
right.
just... They're making fun.
Tell
right?
me about it. And that transvestite I met last night.
Right,
very
exactly.
Odd.
So I don't know if this is true, but this is reported as true in Philadelphia, Ralph. This is Craigslist, and the title is Sugar Baby for My Son. Now, you tell me if this sounds like it could possibly be true. Is this the world's most involved helicopter parents who are trying to do a solid for their kid, okay? This is going to sound strange, but my son is a senior in high school, and I want to help him. He is 18 and will go away to Harvard in the fall. He's extremely smart but socially awkward and has never had a girlfriend, and I'm sure he's a virgin. I want to find a cute young girl to date him and turn him from high school nerd to cool college kid. He's very handsome and extremely fit. He's on the varsity cross-country team, so I'd say there's almost zero body fat on him. You need to be 19 or 20. Anything over 20 would probably freak him out. Here's my plan. I'll buy 4 tickets to some great concert coming up and give 2 to my son and 2 to you. He will know nothing about the other 2 tickets. He'll go to the show with one of his buddies. No way he'll ask a girl. He's too shy to ask them out. You and your friend will be in the seats next to him. Then you spring into action. You start talking to him during the concert and eventually pick him up.
Not
ask him
it.
To take you somewhere afterwards. Ditch your friends. Then you seduce him and take his virginity. Keep dating him and showing him different sex positions till he goes to college, and then let him go gently so he'll have the confidence to date other girls once he's there. What do you think so far?
Not buying it.
He placed the ad.
Signed Steve. Steve's mom.
Exactly.
In return, I'll make your financial issues disappear. Please put your favorite type of car in the subject to show that you're real.
No way.
Thanks.
No.
Now, do we think it's completely fake? Or did the guy put it in for himself, trying to act like his parents?
But how is he going to come?
Have.
How is he going to come forward with the car, though? You know,
he's not.
Right.
I don't know. I think they're just effing around.
But it's not like overtly funny or twisted or anything enough to be a joke. Nobody's effing around with that ad. Somebody's trying to get laid with that ad, right?
Right. Yeah. But I mean,
are there any circumstances?
Not going to give him a car.
Are there any circumstances that a parent would go to these lengths to have their 18-year-old son have sex?
Oh, I think so. I mean, you hear stories all the time about, you know,
dad buying a kid a hooker or something.
Yeah, dad or mom getting a kid strippers for his 16th birthday and stuff. There's plenty of inappropriate parenting going on in the world. But the giving of the car is what throws me off.
I wonder. But I thought that most parents are grateful when their kids, their teenage kids, are not having sex yet, because that's a whole other level of headaches that they're going to have to deal with.
Unless you've got a son who's socially awkward and just can't really connect with anyone else.
Let's say your son is named Bean.
Right. Let's say you're
raising
a young radio nerd, and you're desperate that he's never, ever going to get his wick dipped.
By the smart way, guy, socially awkward, though.
Yeah. This guy's going to Harvard, by the way. He's going to be one of 1,000 freshmen who's a virgin, at least, right?
Yeah. But that's what makes me think, if they can afford to send their kid to Harvard, maybe they can afford to buy a car for some chick.
Well,
maybe so. I don't know. Look, I'm just telling you, but sugar
I'm,
baby
I'm
for
applying.
My son.
I'm applying.
Let's have Beer Mug respond for real.
Put him in a wig.
Yeah. Put him in a wig.
I'm
take
19.
A photo. Give him Nick's voice.
Beer Mug would do it for dinner. He doesn't even need a car. You just buy him a rack of baby back ribs. He'd put out.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what happened there.
I don't have today's schedule.
We should call that segment, That's What Happened There.
Well, we know we have Paul Scheer on the program today from NTSVSUVDMLLQ.
Mm-hmm.
We have Seth Green.
Seth Green on the program today, yeah.
We have Robert Kirkman.
Yes, talking about the next season of Walking Dead.
Can't wait for that. We have Zachary Levi talking about Nerd HQ.
He's an awesome dude, by the way.
He is cool.
Levi.
Yeah.
I was hanging out with his girlfriend.
Who's his girlfriend?
Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck.
Scott Sack's girlfriend?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
He wins.
Yeah, that's strong.
And they were on Chuck together. They played boyfriend girlfriend on TV.
Yeah, but I didn't know.
They're not really boyfriend girlfriend, Bean.
I thought you were saying they were really boyfriend
Holy
girlfriend.
Holy crap.
I didn't know. Sometimes people hook up.
Go back to your computer.
A TV show and date.
I believed him, too.
Chief, we should get Bean laid before he goes off to college. And it's Friday, so we have the movie beat coming up as well. It is Comic-Con, and everything's going smoothly in San Diego on The Kevin and Bean Show. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is The Kevin and Bean Show live from San Diego for the Comic-Con at 5:52.
Con!
The To-Do List is an awesome movie that's coming out next weekend. One of the stars of that film, the beautiful Rachel Bilson, will be joining us coming up here in studio in about 10 minutes or so on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got our first look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday.
Congratulations to Anna Chomsky. She was nominated for an Emmy yesterday for her work on Veep. And now she's a mommy. She tells People magazine she gave birth to her little daughter on July the 11th, and all is well. So you get an Emmy nomination, you get a new baby. Boy, it's a good deal. Something bad's bound to happen to you, Anna.
Wow.
What goes around comes around.
What was her story, Ralph? She was a child star who was in that My Girl movie as a little girl, right? And then did she get out of acting, abandon?
She went to school, went to college, and then decided to get back into it because she loved it, and she came back a fully formed person. And oddly enough, it rarely happens with child actors. She is much more talented an actress now as an adult as she ever was when she was a kid. Usually it's the other way around.
But to me, it didn't seem like a deal where she was in high school and then left acting just to go away to college for 4 years. It seems like she quit acting at like 9 or something and then didn't go back to it until she was in her 20s.
I'm not familiar with her
could you be more specific
years.
About each year of her life?
However, there is a website y'all can go to called IMDb, and you can look up and see whether she was professionally acting in what years and
well,
what
I'm very impressed with her.
Her baby's name, by the way, Penelope. Look at that.
Penelope.
A regular name for a person. Imagine that.
She's not much of a celebrity.
No, she is not. She failed on the name test.
Yep.
This is the biggest news to come out of Comic-Con yet. Fox's two biggest animation properties are going to bury the hatchet after years of animosity, and they're teaming up for a crossover episode set to debut next year. Family Guy and The Simpsons will meet.
I always liked their little fight.
A little feud against
each
other.
Yeah, I always like that.
The crossover episode will be entitled The Simpsons Guy. Peter, Lois, Chris, Meg, Stewie, and Brian will take a road trip and find themselves stranded in Springfield to face their arch rivals, The Simpsons. They all hang out. Apparently Homer and Peter will hang out, debating on what's the better beer, Duff or Pawtucket Patriot. Homer, apparently, in the episode, refers to the Griffiths as albinos. Because, they're yellow and the Griffins are all pink and whatnot. Stewie and Bart will team up. Lisa and Meg and Marge and Lois, apparently.
Worst episode ever.
Sounds very funny.
I think that sounds awesome.
The 20th year anniversary panel for The X-Files was yesterday here at Comic-Con. Chris Carter, Gillian Anderson, and David Duchovny got together. And Gillian made the crowd go nuts when she told them she would be open to doing a third X-Files film. She is ready.
All right.
Chris and David seem to waffle on their responses regarding that, but Jillian's ready to go. And I always thought she was the one who sort of was dragging her feet in that.
Yeah, she had moved on, it seemed like.
Yeah, but she's happy and willing to do it. And David actually said that the chemistry between the two of them is so strong, he would love to work with her again. So we'll see what happens.
I love her on Hannibal.
Yeah, she's real good.
She's real good on that show. It's great to see her back on our TV.
Bruce Lee fans around the world are furious over the way his likeness is being used. The Kung Fu King apparently did not drink booze at all. Hate him. But his image is being used in Johnny Walker scotch commercials in China. Apparently, Johnny Walker bought the rights to Lee's image from his daughter. And fans are saying it's an attack on his personal philosophy to promote drinking in that way. To which I would respond, he's dead.
He is dead.
Probably doesn't care so much.
He's not offended.
A, he's dead. B, take it up with his daughter.
And he would probably want his daughter to get the money. So if he had to choose over using his image for booze or getting his daughter a paycheck, I'm sure he's happy to get it.
Plus, he probably always wished that he drank.
Yes, really. Yes. Nobody who doesn't drink doesn't want to. Secretly. And this is good news. Tom Cruise finally has somebody in his corner. Cher was being interviewed on that show, Watch What Happens Live, with Andy Cohen on Bravo. And she said she dated Tom back in the 80s. I don't know if you remember that relationship or not.
Nope.
I don't.
Yeah, it was a big deal back when Cruise first became a star. Cher and Tom Cruise dated an extended period of time. And she claimed on the talk show this week that he was an incredible lover.
Yeah. She watched him have sex with dudes?
No, they had
sex. Her. Oh,
they had sex because what gay guy doesn't love Cher? That's he was happy to be with her.
That's a good point.
Not that Mr. Cruise is gay, but
no,
but
I'm not saying that.
General,
I'm just saying in general people who do things with other people.
He sues a lot, you know. He's very heterosexual.
I hadn't heard that.
Cher does not have a type, by the way. That's what I'm thinking. As I hear you talk about her dating Tom Cruise, and I'm remembering her, of course, with Gene Simmons. Mm-hmm. She dated him, right? And it's Sonny Bono.
She has a type. It's just all.
Men is her type.
Right.
And while we're talking about men, you can subtract the half men from 2.5 men.
Oh, is he gone?
They finally got rid of him?
TV Line reports that the producers are currently reshooting the title sequence for the upcoming season to cut out Angus T. Jones. That's a lot of cutting, by the way.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. He will not be returning as a series regular.
He can play George Zimmerman if they ever make a TV movie about that case. He's about that size.
The big question remains whether the latest cast addition, Charlie Harper's long-lost lesbian daughter. Did you hear about that plot line?
Yes. No.
They're bringing in an actress to play Charlie Sheen's character's long-lost daughter who returns to live with now Ashton Kutcher and her uncle, John Cryer.
Sounds like they should just put this one down.
There, this is... Ted McGinley is the only thing missing from this show before they finally say it's all over.
TV Lake.
So that may be the half-man in question, which will upset a lot of lesbians, I'm sure, if you call her a half-a-man.
Wow.
With 2.5 men, but they may edit her into the opening sequence, so we'll have to wait.
It'll be two men and a woman.
And by the way, we don't have John Cryer, but there's a guy that used to live next door to somebody who knew John Cryer. That's now part of the show.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
Might be time for 2.5 men to lay down. Today's celebrity birthdays, worst day of the year for celebrity days.
Wow.
Worst. We got Campbell Scott. He's 52 years old today. Talented actor, but not a big name for the celebrity birthdays.
Right.
Anthony Edwards. Again, like him a lot, but lacks the sizzle.
A lot of star power, yeah.
He's 51. And Jared Padalecki of Supernatural is 31 years old today. Oh, wait a minute. Dave's pointing out here that Benedict Cumberbatch is 37.
Oh, there you go.
Well, thanks, Dave. That really ups the ante when it comes to celebrity birthdays that Benedict Cumberbatch is celebrating his birthday. You know, he's the new Khan.
He's also Sherlock.
Khan! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Two very sexy gentlemen coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I was
much
talking about Zachary Levi. He's going to be joining us, talking about Nerd HQ here in just a couple of minutes. Yeah. And the beautiful Paul Scheer, too. He'll be here in the 7 o'clock hour. That's all
he's
on the way as we broadcast from San Diego, as Kevin mentioned, Comic-Con 2013. That doesn't mean we've forgotten about the other movies that maybe aren't geek-related. And Ralph is here with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Is this the weekend we're going to have two Ryan Reynolds flops in the same weekend? I think it just might be.
Wow.
Very excited for that. But let's take a look at the new movies in Cineplexes this weekend that you can check out. I'm very excited about this sequel. I'm not usually a big sequel guy, but I love the first one so much. I can't wait to see Red 2. You may remember Red with Bruce Willis and John Malkovich, Helen Mirren.
This time
Anthony Hopkins joins the cast. What a cast this place.
No kidding.
You remember the first one? Bruce Willis plays CIA agent Frank Moses, and he had his black ops team of retired agents fighting a bad guy. Well, they reunite in this film to take down a missing portable nuclear device, which I think would be good to take down. You don't want that running around. John Malkovich, in this scene, wants Bruce Willis to come help him take on this mission. Here is a scene from Red 2.
I am happy. You're desperate.
I can make this work.
Frank, you're playing house.
Look, I'm retired, okay? I'm happy. We are happy.
Frank, you haven't killed anybody in months.
Hey, you know what? It's not a bad thing, okay? It's a positive thing for a lot of people.
Kimasabi, I need you. They're coming. I can feel it.
You are driving me nuts, Marvin.
Listen, if it makes you feel better, bring the girl.
I'm not going to bring the girl anywhere, all right?
Don't bring the girl where?
Mary Louise Parker plays his girlfriend in that film. Looking forward to that. Turbo is the first of our Ryan Reynolds film for the weekend. Turbo, the story of a snail who has a dream of winning the Indy 500. Yeah.
That could happen.
That's a storyline. Look, I know this is an animated kids movie, but even by those standards, that is some BS plot right there. The snail, luckily, has a freak accident where he gets dipped in... what's that stuff that makes cars go fast? Nitrous?
Gasoline?
Nitrous.
Oh, nitrous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gasoline.
you're talking about the Indy 500? Come on, Ralph.
Come on, come back to us, Ralph.
We're all still friends, right?
More than ever. So the freak accident makes the snail really fast, and he gets his dream of competing.
It's based on a true story, right?
Absolutely, okay. Yeah. Ryan Reynolds stars as Turbo the Snail. Paul Giamatti, Samuel L. Jackson, Maya Rudolph, a cast of thousands populate the movie Turbo. Here's a scene from the film where Turbo meets his crew.
I'm Whiplash. This here is my crew.
I'm Skidmark.
And I'm Burn.
The name is Smooth Move. I set the tone around here, you dig?
Here one second, gone the next. They call me the White Shadow. Because I'm so fast, all you see is my shadow.
I don't get it.
I'm fast, like a shadow.
Yep, but shadows, they're not inherently fast.
White Shadow.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Here's some Snoop Lion in there, too.
Did hear that,
he does one of the voices as well. The Conjuring opens this weekend. Ah. This looks spooky. Yeah, Dave can't even hear the title of the film without cringing.
This looks awesome.
He's not into the scary movies. Vera Farmiga, Patrick Wilson, Lily Taylor, Ron Livingston, great cast. This is based on the true story that the Amityville Horror was based on. Family owns a farmhouse where weird things are going on, to say the least, and they hire a couple of paranormal investigators, husband and wife teamed, named Ed and Lorraine Warren. They come to investigate, and they find themselves caught in the most terrifying case of their lives. The Conjuring, a film that's doing so well in screenings and with buzz that they're already working on a sequel before even the first one comes out.
Wow.
How about that? Here is a scene from The Conjuring where the little girl who lives in the farmhouse with her mom and dad sees someone in her room. Okay, you go.
Easy, Mugs.
Do you see it? There's someone behind the door.
What?
There's someone standing over there.
I don't see anyone.
It's looking right at us.
Nancy, don't. Nancy, no, look. Look, there's no one here. See?
It's standing right behind you.
Is it a snail that runs on gasoline?
It is. It makes cars go fast. Gasoline. And the second of our Ryan Reynolds double feature, RIPD. No, it's not about the Rhode Island Police Department. It's about people who are dead. All right, follow me on this one.
All right.
You die.
Right. Right.
But there's some sort of a glitch, and you don't get to the afterlife. So you stick around Earth and start causing trouble.
Okay.
So what the afterlife has is its own police department, the Rest in Peace Department. And they send dead cops from throughout the ages to capture the dead people who are still roaming the Earth.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm with you.
The dead people's dream is to compete in the Indy 500.
Nope.
So that, no.
I don't think that's...
Jeff Bridges and Ryan Reynolds star in this film, which is basically Ghostbusters meets Men in Black. Ryan Reynolds plays a recently slain cop who has to join the team of undead police officers and tries to find the man who murdered him. On the side, Kevin Bacon stars in this film, and Mary Louise Parker, who's also in Red 2, is also in this.
Hmm.
They're running out of actors What's in Hollywood. Happening? They're just doubling up on everyone. Here are some clips from the trailer of R.I.P.D.
We are the greatest lawmen that ever lived and died.
Now,
some souls hide out among the living.
There's something else.
You don't look like you, you don't sound like you anymore.
So what do I look like? Really? An old Chinese guy? What about you? Well, I guess you win, Roy.
We're with the Department of Health.
We suspect you might be dead.
If the dead take over, that's it for the living world.
They picked the wrong venue to make a stand. This world's for the living, and RIPD is going to keep it that way.
A little Rooster Cogburn there.
Yeah, no
from,
kidding.
Jeff Bridges. This is based on a very popular comic book that was very well received, very entertaining. The translation may have been lost on its way to the screen.
Yeah.
People saying this isn't as good as expected. But if you're a Ryan Reynolds fan, you are in good shape this weekend. You can see two bad films that he's in, so that's very exciting. Me, personally, I'm going to check out Red 2. That looks like the most fun. And then I'm going to take Dave, and I'm going to duct tape him to a seat theater and pry his eyes open and force him to watch The Conjuring.
He would cry like a little girl.
Oh, he would just mess himself.
He would.
Yeah. You are all going to die tonight.
Yeah, and you're all going to die tonight. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:36.
We're at Comic-Con, like we do, in San Diego, California. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. Yesterday, we stumbled upon an awesome place that is kind of not on the official map. It is Comic-Con adjacent. It's actually at Petco Park, and it's called Nerd HQ. We're going to be hearing from our friend Zach Levi here in just a second, who's kind of the brains behind it. How do you describe this place except it's the coolest hangout in the world, and it's free to just go in and play video games and sit around and watch people be interviewed and give speeches. You meet lots of people. I mean, it's really awesome, right?
You don't have to have the right pass. Just show up.
Yeah.
That's a really cool place to hang. Free Wi-Fi.
It's amazing, cool. and they have all sorts of things that you can also buy tickets for, and as you'll hear Zach explain in this interview we're about to play, all the proceeds from the tickets sold benefit charity, OperationSmile.org. Now, those are the people that you may have seen the commercials for, where the kids around the world who were born with the mouth deformities, with cleft palates and things like that. This pays for doctors to improve their lives, to fix them up. So it's a terrific charity, and they do lots of great events. They have lots of awesome panels. One of the things we wanted to mention, if you're coming to San Diego, here's a great example of what they do. $15, proceeds to OperationSmile.org. You go to Petco Park, and you lay out your blanket, and you sit out in the outfield, and you watch the movie on a big screen of Serenity tomorrow night. And you're watching it with Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk from the film. They're also going to be there introducing it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're sitting in the freaking Petco Park watching a movie. It's like a drive-in. It's so awesome. But they do a bunch of cool stuff, and we really enjoyed catching up with Zach Levi yesterday. And here's what that sounded like.
Hello, the king of Comic-Con, Zach Levi. How are you, sir?
I'm a duke. I'm a duke or an earl. I don't know. I think Stan Lee is still the king of Comic-Con.
That's true. We are here at Nerd HQ. I want you to take me through very briefly how you went from guy who goes to Comic-Con because he can't get chicks. We all know that's the story. To guy who now is running Nerd HQ and has his own panels and doing all that you're doing.
Well, the girl hunt has been difficult. And
well,
that,
look at him.
That's why I
ladies.
Started an event. See, I just bring the girls to me. I've been really lucky because Chuck was it was a fan favorite type of a show.
You were on Chuck?
Newsflash, everybody.
This is the same guy. Okay, go ahead.
And we got to come down with the show. It was. we were kind of in one of those earlier transitional years where we weren't exactly sci-fi, but it started becoming an entertainment con, and we were just enough sci-fi where we got to come down with the show, and the nerd culture audience embraced us. And it was like, you know, the first year we had 2,000 people in a hall, and it was standing ovation watching our pilot, and it was amazing, and to the point where, you know, by the last season, we had 6,000 people standing ovations. You felt like a Beatle at Shea Stadium. I mean, it's a really intense kind of love. But there were little things that I just wish that I could do as far as the way that I interacted with fans. And I, you know, we would come to the end of our panels and you'd have like maybe 5 minutes left over for fans to ask questions. And I always kind of felt like, well, there's 150,000 of them down here. It seems that the best way for me to utilize my time is to spend a little time with them and say, hey, what do you want to know?
And by the way, this is not the cast-offs. This is not the also-rans. Talk about some of the people that you're doing panels for this year that the fans can get up and stand up and ask questions of.
Well,
it's an insane lineup. I mean, how do you...
I consider them cast-offs.
How do you get, like, Doctor Who and stuff like that, you know?
Well, we've been really lucky and really blessed that, you know, working in entertainment, you make certain friendships with different people. Matt Smith and I happen to do a panel together for... TV Guide a couple years back at the main con, and he saw me wearing my Nerd HQ stuff and he was like, hey, what's that all about? And I explained it and I said, we do these panels that are intimate for the fans and we raise money for charity. And he says, that's awesome, I want to do that with you. I said, great. And so then he did, and he brought his other cast members, and Matt and I have become really good friends over the years.
Could you be the first American Doctor Who?
I would love to be.
Dude, the knob's open, man.
Dude, I would love to be.
He could write
Jerry. There's a lot of British characters that I'd love to be the first American version of, including
Bond.
But the
Brits are coming over here, and they're Batman, and they're Spider-Man.
No, which is, to me, even more reason why I should have a
shot. It's offensive.
Yeah.
It's offensive.
Yeah.
All right.
The Brits would never stand for it. But yeah, Joss Whedon's doing a panel. He did one for us last year. Nathan Fillion's doing a couple. He's a total mensch. Like, he's one of my best buddies.
So this is Slam Dance to Sundance, basically. This is kind of the alternate universe
a little bit of
Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Unofficial. And the best thing about it is twofold. You don't have to be able to get tickets to the main event to be able to come.
Sure.
Anyone can walk up and buy a ticket for $22, right?
Sure.
Part two is, tell us about the charity angle, because that's new and different for down here.
Yeah, so
I love that.
I'm all about incentive. I think life runs on incentive. So to me, you want to incentivize the fans and give them something that's really special, which is a very intimate look at their celebrities and an hour to ask them questions, if they're bold enough to do so. So that there's incentive for them, and it's not that expensive. It's $20, $22 with the charges or whatever. And then the celebrities, I was like, well, how do I incentivize them to just give me an hour of their time? And if I say, look, I'm not making any money off of you. This is you just donating an hour of your time, and every penny of those sales goes to charity. All of a sudden, the celebrity – oh, and by the way, you get to interact with your fans in a really, really fun way where there are no rules. They kind
of
go,
sell now, all of a
yeah,
sudden.
Yeah, you know, and they go, yeah, you know what, I could try that out. And anyone who has done it has immediately pretty much come back to us the next year and said, I can't wait to do it again, because it really is special. Like Doctor Who last year, they ended up singing half of Bohemian Rhapsody just because. because Matt and Arthur and Karen were like, all right, we're going to sing now, you know? And they get to tell their own anecdotes, you know, and sometimes, you know, Damon Lindelof and Seth Graham Smith, they did a whole just like, we're just talking about writing in Hollywood, and they had cocktails in hand. They almost answered no questions. They were just telling people what it's like to be a writer in Hollywood, which can be a really tough job.
Is the only place to see and hear all this to be here in person, or is this archived or podcasted or anything elsewhere?
That's an excellent question. There's a lot of archiving and stuff that goes on, but the big thing we do is we live stream all of this to the world. You can watch it all as it's happening live, and then it gets archived on YouTube.
Explain what's going on out here.
Another elements that came to mind when I was trying to create all this was there's like a nerd trifecta. There's Comic-Con, there's CES, and there's E3. And CES, the Electronics Expo, and E3, the Gaming Expo, are both closed to the public. Like, you have to be a professional with a badge to get in.
Right.
And I've been really lucky because of Hollywood and all that nonsense that I just get to... I'm a professional or whatever.
You're James Bond.
Sure, why not? But Comic-Con obviously is a fan event, and I was like, well, it's basically the same demographic in each one of these. You know, these same people would love to see and have access. So what I wanted to offer at Nerd HQ was a little bit of all those. So you get gaming and you get tech all kind of scattered throughout, and ways to activate and get other sponsors involved and stuff, because it's an expensive event. I mean, you know, you can't just do it.
Right.
But it's also really fun when you have Xbox coming in with like games that aren't even on the market yet that the professionals all got access to at E3, but the fans still haven't got to play yet. So we want to give those exclusives. We want fans to feel like this is a one-stop shop for everything.
What's it like for you, Zach, to walk around amongst your fans? People must be surprised to see that you run this thing, but you're actually on the floor and you're running around and meeting people, and anybody can come up and talk to you. What's that like for you?
I like it.
It's a lot of access compared to most actors.
I've always tried to maintain an element of, if I have the time for you in that moment, you got my time. And if I don't, I'll let you know, hey, I don't have time right now, but can you hit me later? And as long as you're honest and cool with people, they're incredibly responsive to them.
One of the panels that has been advertised is you with mystery guests.
Yeah.
Now, that's just a way to sell a bunch of tickets, right? what can you tell us about that?
Well, I'm fortunate enough that at my own events, I can sell out my own panels. But what happened last year was we had a slot for a panel that ended up falling out. And so we were scrambling and trying to figure out, what do we do with that slot? And I said, well, why don't we... And I had a lot of friends that were in town. But sometimes it's tough. You know, like, their time is very limited and they're everywhere. And so I go, oh, look, just put it on the site as it's a mystery panel with me
it's
and my friend.
What it is. Because you have
no idea what's happening. But again, I think that a lot of fans will buy it simply because it's like, hey, it's another Zach panel, and we'll go even if it's just Zach and Schmucko, whoever Schmucko is.
Oh, I love Schmucko.
Schmucko's great.
Awesome.
When he puts the nose on,
I can't wait for this movie to come out.
And everyone will be very happy.
So you have June and Sugar Bear and Honey Boo Boo. You got the whole family, right?
Stop blowing it, Bean.
All right, Zach. We'll have a great time here in San Diego. It's great that we got a chance to hook up with you.
I love what you're doing here.
Thank you. Website for people who want to check it out?
TheNerdMachine.com.
Fantastic. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks.
Donna Summer bringing you the greatest hits of the summertime disco era over there, ladies and gentlemen.
It is a little bit. Hey, Robert Kirkman, the creator of The Walking Dead, joins us this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, our old friend Seth Green from Robot Chicken is going to be stopping by. Paul Scheer in just a few minutes. It's all coming up. We are broadcasting live from Comic-Con in San Diego. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm trying to just prepare for my con, my day at the con. I'm a busy, busy man. I've got Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, too. I'm moderating that panel.
Okay.
It'll be Anna Faris and Bill Hader. Terry Crews.
Fun.
It'll be a fun lineup.
Yeah.
Then RoboCop, the rebooted RoboCop. I'll be talking to Joel Kinnaman, who stars as the new RoboCop. Michael Keaton will be on that panel.
Oh, that's cool.
You're partying with your hero, Michael Keaton?
I love Michael Keaton.
Are you going to
shake him
around the head and shoulders and say, make more movies?
He's working all the time now.
He's in this.
He's in that new Larry David project on HBO, Clear History. He's in that as well. So finally, he's back working. And then The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which is one of the biggest panels of the weekend. I will be moderating that as well with Andrew Garfield.
You're a superstar.
Jamie Foxx will be there.
Wow. Why did you have to miss our lunch with Bean yesterday?
Well, I was busy. I was preparing for the Dexter panel yesterday. I know you guys had lunch, and I'm sorry I couldn't be there.
There was like nine of us, which is a lot for Bean.
And too many. I'm surprised he was there.
He immediately started to crack. He's like, we have to hurry. Because they put us in a booth, and he was back in the very back of the booth where he couldn't get out either way.
Oh,
and there's nine of us, and he started yelling. Grandpa started yelling. He was like, all of you, when she comes to take her order, you know what you want, and you just tell her. And then when the food comes, you just eat. We got to move along here. He started freaking out. He was yelling at the entire table.
Sounds like the worst family vacation ever.
Dad was screaming
at the kids.
He was yelling at all of us.
At the Hojos before they get back on the interstate.
We were on a tight schedule.
We
had a large table. And Ralph, you know what it's like when you're sitting there and somebody takes forever to order and starts asking all sorts of questions.
So I just wanted to define forever.
A minute? He would not allow a question.
I said,
not how it's made.
Just eat the sandwich.
He started yelling, not how it's made. If they bring it wrong, you eat it. He had to get out of there right away.
You're not allowed to ask for anything to be either left in or added to the order that you have.
There's a long list of rules.
And you're going to know ahead of time what you want to drink, and you're going to have that ready, and you're going to hand the menu to the next person, and you're going to shut the F up. And let me tell you, the waitress came and nine of us ordered like 30 seconds. It was pretty awesome.
Everybody was scared to death.
Well, sure.
The crazy man in the corner.
Lunch Hitler was at the table. That's why.
Well, we were in and out of there in no time, I just like to say.
I'm sorry I missed it. It sounded like a very pleasant, relaxed eating situation. It was a nice dining moment. I like to keep
to a tight schedule.
No
Ralph.
One talk.
I know that.
No one have conversations to eat.
And chew faster.
Well, good times. All right, let's talk about this tape that was released yesterday. Interesting tape. You may remember. You do remember. the legendary moment on the 2009 MTV Video Music Awards where Taylor Swift won an award for best female video, I guess?
Perhaps? I think it was. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Beat out Beyonce, and she got up to accept her award, and Kanye stormed the stage and grabbed the microphone and talked about how Beyonce had the greatest video.
As much as you guys hate Taylor Swift, that was a classless moment, an inappropriate moment for Kanye
West. It was a battle of the worst. And
yeah, it couldn't happen to a better person, though.
And Taylor Swift came out ahead because Kanye's just such a dick. But he famously afterwards went around apologizing. He cried on the Jay Leno show when Jay brought it up. And he said, would your mother have appreciated that behavior? And his mother had just died. And he tweeted all kinds of apologies. Well, it turns out that they may all be false. Because this video, audio rather, was released of dinner he had after the VMAs that night. Where he goes on a rant talking about why he had to get on stage and talk about Beyonce and talk her up and put down Taylor Swift. Because it's a long piece of tape. We don't have all of it. But because basically he was upset that Eminem won Best Rap Video, that Pink was invited to perform and he was not. He was drawing racial lines between what MTV was doing. It was a black-white thing. So he had to get up there and speak out on behalf of African Americans. And then he talked about the fact that he was insulted that they didn't ask him to perform Heartless that night because it was the biggest song of the year. And Pink gets to perform two songs, and I don't. And then he talked about how committed he was to his craft and becoming famous, that he had given up everything for fame.
Well, he's an idiot, then.
Here's a little piece of that tape from him having dinner with his friends.
As long as I'm alive, you're going to have to deal with it. Is that going to be no more motherfucking Elvises?
Why are you so
with no
angry?
James Brown? Because my mother got arrested for the sinners. My mother died for this fame. I'm moving to Hollywood chasing this. My mother died because of MTV.
F MTV, he says at the end of that tape.
Did he say my mom died for this?
For the fame. My mother died for my fame. S. Hmm.
And then something about her participating in sit-ins in the 60s.
Yeah, so she was fighting for racial equality.
And there wasn't any because Pink performed
Pink
and
performing.
He didn't.
Right, yeah.
Okay, well, exactly. That's comparable.
That seems fair. So they're saying his apologies regarding the Taylor Swift incident may have been less than genuine.
I think he sounds like a very reasonable man.
And that was his true feelings about the situation, what we just heard. Now, no word why this tape is surfacing after 4 years, but an interesting glimpse into the mind and ego of Kanye West. I would say to Kanye West what he said this week to that MTV reporter. Just don't talk. Mm-hmm. Don't talk to anyone who knows anyone. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to people who know other people. Don't talk to yourself. Just don't talk.
Kanye's become the new Mr. T.
He really is. He just needs a big gold chain and a mohawk. And a pity the fool to talk. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Campbell Scott, very talented actor, is 52 years old today. Anthony Edwards, you know him, of course, from ER. And, of course, Top Gun, let's not forget, he was Goose.
Goose.
51 years old. Actor Jared Padalecki from Supernatural on the CW. He's 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes after 7 o'clock.
NTSFSDSUV, also the new film called Hell Baby and The League. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Scheer joins
us
here
on
the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's going on?
Sexiest man at Comic-Con 2013 here in San
Always.
Diego.
I got to tell you, we had a guy here yesterday who was so excited that you were going to be on the show.
Really?
That he said, and we thought maybe a little too, we like you a lot.
Sure.
But we thought he was maybe a little too excited. He said, I'm going to get there at midnight and sleep over so I don't miss Paul Scheer.
This is my dad?
And I said, dude, seriously, he's going to be here at 7. Why don't you just show up at 7? And he's not here.
I know. I'm pretty disappointed that this guy isn't here. But, you know, at 7:15, he'll come in to shoot me. You'll get the first live on-air assassination.
I actually would be fine with that, to tell you the truth.
What?
A lot of great press for the show. No skin off our teeth. I think we've gotten all out of Paul we're going to get.
You know what? Hey, look, if it's for the show, I will get assassinated.
That's
for you
great.
Guys.
That is nice of you.
You know, thank you. I mean, there's not been that many terrestrial radio assassinations, right? So, you know, I feel like this is a good start.
Hey, why do you have so many people? Why is your posse so deep, Paul?
I don't know why I have.
You showed up with, like, literally, you're like P. Diddy or something walking into like six people.
I have a lot of people. I don't know why. I don't request it. I mean, well,
do you recognize any of them?
No. I have one person to hold my gum. That's always a given. You
sure.
needs a gum holder.
All right.
They take it out of your mouth?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, sorry, I was a given.
Yeah,
my bad.
Guys, I work I have two shows on basic cable. I can't take gum in and out of my mouth.
Of course not.
Yeah, I have two people who hold me by my shoulder so I don't have to walk.
You got an umbrella guy. Yeah. You got to have an umbrella guy.
Got to have an umbrella guy.
In the unlikely event of a sprinkle here in San Diego.
Exactly. I'm like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger has a guy who carries a chessboard on his hand. I've seen this.
No, that's not true.
I swear to God, it's
really
true. And so at any given point, he can just go back to playing chess. There's a guy who is always playing him at chess.
No.
I thought that was
a great story. He has an opponent that follows him around.
Yes. I know it to be true because I saw a picture of it, and someone told me that that exists.
So that guy will wait maybe a week, and then...
He's on call. He's on call.
And then Arnold will make a move.
And then he'll just have to walk around and wait until the game goes back.
That's the ultimate baller move right there.
I would love a chess guy.
You need that.
I know that can't be true.
Why?
But I think we're going to start propagating that lie. Because it could be
true.
It's an awesome urban legend.
Because it's too good to be true.
I will tell you that I know a woman who was in a salon in Beverly Hills. He was getting his hair cut, and there was a guy standing next to him with the chest.
But isn't it just, it just possible that Arnold Schwarzenegger was with a guy that day who he plays chess with, and they just happened to be in the middle of a game that day, and he's not a full-time guy?
No, because it was a hand version.
It was a hand version, yeah.
It wasn't like an app or something? They were just playing on a
smartphone? No, it wasn't on a phone. I'm trying to explain to you. He had a board on his hand. And by the way, I'm not saying he's full-time. I'm not saying that this guy travels with him 24-7.
Right.
But even if he travels with him 4 or 5 times a week, That's a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
If he travels with him once a week, that's a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that
might be the best
great.
Thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. You get a show on network TV, you're going to get a guy like that,
oh,
right?
Oh, my gosh. I have to. My guy's going to be Chinese checkers, though.
Sure.
Just to mix it up with that.
So you have a little bit of a presence here at Comic-Con this year. There's the panel. Who else is going to be on your panel?
We have Karen Gillan from Doctor Who, and she's in the new Marvel movie, Guardians of the Galaxy. Which
Why is she
really
on your panel?
Because she's on my show.
So she gets to promote it all at one time?
Well,
you're not going to let her talk about that other BS, right?
Oh, come on, man. I'll just say, shut up about that.
No one cares about Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, we got her right before she's going to become a giant, giant star. She's already a giant star in the Doctor Who world, and now she's going to become a Marvel star, and then, forget about it.
Right.
She'll be doing endorsement deals. And
She'll change her phone number. You'll never talk to her again.
Never. I mean, it's hard to talk to her now.
I always wonder about shows like yours that have so many great people on it, and Children's Hospital, same deal. I'm stunned. The Office, by the way, is another example of a show. Like, once everybody went off and started doing their own stuff, I'm stunned that everybody stays together as long as they do.
Well, for our show, we shoot 13 episodes and we do it in 22 days. So it's kind of like a fun version of summer camp. Like, you don't have to commit 9 months. It's like basically just a couple of weeks. So people want to do it. And that's why we get good guest stars, too. I mean, we got so many amazing people this year. I mean, from the world of sci-fi, like people like Summer Glau from like Firefly.
Of course.
And then, look at that. I like that. And then like Natasha Lyonne and that's not a bell ringer.
No, she's 5 years ago she would have been.
All right.
I got my hand up because I know you're going to say Jack McBrayer, and I'm ready.
Jack McBrayer, yes. Kristen Schaal, all these amazing people. We actually even went to London this year.
Wow.
We shot episodes in London.
How did you do that when you had 22 days?
Well, basically, we move quickly.
You are efficient.
Holy cow.
Well, Kevin, they just shot it on the plane on the way over.
We have to shoot. Yeah, basically the guy who runs Adult Swim, this guy Mike Lazo, is just this kind of cool guy. And we're like, hey, Mike, it would be fun if we shot something in London. He's like, yeah. Go ahead, shoot it.
So what was your idea?
The idea is that there's a crime in Little London, and Little London's like Chinatown is to San Francisco or New York. It's the same an area of San Diego, so they have to go into Little London. But we are actually in
London. So you
go
to London.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. Adult Swim really has just cornered the market on the stoners, haven't they?
I think so. I mean, it's, they probably won't want me to say that, but I feel like...
No, I'll say it.
They've definitely marketed... I mean, it's... What is better than a 15-minute show?
That includes credits and everything else.
Exactly. No commercials. It's perfect. It's the perfect way to watch TV.
We're here in San Diego for Comic-Con, as is our guest Paul Scheer. So we're walking back from some event last night, and we saw the Adult Swim. What do you call that?
It's a fun house,
The fun house. Yeah, we saw the fun house. And it was like walking through there was like being on acid without being on acid.
Oh, it's amazing. And there's a part of the fun house where you come out of a woman like you're being born. That is a part of the funhouse. You are being that's not trippy.
That doesn't sound fun.
I mean, that is It's everything but without the blood.
Did you get your picture taken with Hello Kitty? Because did you see that booth?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? The booth that I'm fascinated by is like there's all these booths around, but there's a Hallmark booth in the middle of the floor. Like
Hallmark? Really?
It's like, you know, they have a lot of spoilers for the new Christmas cards. I know. You know.
It is crazy. I mean, that's the weirdest thing. San Diego at Comic-Con is the world's largest amusement park, and you just walk around, you see the strangest things.
Oh, my God,
Forget the hundreds of thousands of people here. Like, I saw a stormtrooper putting on his knees this morning on the way in, you know, to come to this.
Well, the one costume I don't like, though, is people who dress up like Indiana Jones, because I feel like Indiana Jones is just like, guys, like, I'm cool. I like having a goatee, and it's going to be pretty awesome. But, like, you know, like, dressing up as Indiana Jones and coming to Comic-Con is like putting a white sheet on and dressing up as a ghost for Halloween. It's not trying.
It's no effort.
You're
Kevin,
just wearing khakis.
You saw a Sharknado yesterday, didn't you?
I did. A Sharknado hat.
I love that.
Tornado all the way up to the top of the shark.
I saw that on Instagram. Sweet. I love that. I love Sharknado. We just did a podcast about Sharknado because
it Did you watch it?
Oh, of course.
How unwatchable is that movie?
It's, you know what the problem is? It should have been more unwatchable. It was almost like
that's possible. I watched the whole thing and it's
look, I'm
there's a lot of people talking about it, but I defy somebody to tell me they watched every second of that movie.
I watched every second. I'm not proud of it. I will tell you that I think my favorite moment is when Tara Reid just walks over to a wall of deodorant and just stares at it for a second. It's like, just kill time, kill time, kill time. It's like, she's just staring, just like very, like just looking into the future with this wall of deodorant. It was the movie doesn't even attempt to explain why it happened.
Yes.
Why did they capture 20,000 sharks in the middle of Mexico? These are the questions I want to get
But the scene with the chainsaw, though. Cinematic history, right?
I mean, I feel like it's going to go down as one of the best scenes in cinema of all time.
That's correct. I do too.
Jumping into a shark's belly with a chainsaw. Now, here's my question. He jumps in with a chainsaw, but there's a woman inside that shark's belly.
That's what I thought.
So, isn't that woman going to get chopped up, too?
You would think she'd be first.
Yeah, she would definitely get chopped up.
Yeah.
How brilliant is the casting, though?
Oh, man.
Of what's his face?
Ian Ziering.
Yes, have an Ian Ziering on it. And Tara Reid.
Tara Reid, whose face hasn't had an emotion since 2008.
It might be the worst acted movie as well.
Well, it seems like no one wants to be there. And on top of no one wanting to be there, the movie takes place mainly in the rain. So you want to make people miserable and they don't want to be there. So you can read it on their faces the entire time.
But the funny, we had the director in who was talking about.
Oh, yes. Thunder. Oh, no, that's not. The writer is Thunder.
He was talking about how they were trying to find rain.
Oh, yeah.
And they only had like 12 days or something. They were chasing rain. They would drive to Pasadena or someplace else. But when you watch the movie, every 5 seconds it goes from just pouring in the windshield and then it's sunny.
And they get
out of the car, it's sunny. Then they get back in, it's raining. It doesn't make any sense.
If you haven't seen Sharknado, and I know it's re-airing tonight on Sci-Fi, if you haven't seen it, I like to envision the movie like John Hurd, you know, character in the beginning. Think of him as Kevin McAllister's dad from Home Alone. Just like he finally got a divorce. His mom was like, you know what? We leave our kids at home too much. We got to get divorced. We're bad parents. And this is where he's ended up. So I kind of see it as like a sequel.
All right, I like it.
Now, a sequel to Home Alone.
Before we take a break here, Paul, you know, they are already working on a sequel, as you know.
Yes, in New York, right?
You got to be in that, right?
Oh, my gosh. I would love to be in it.
Are you a good enough actor to be in Sharknado 2, though?
I think you're too good. No, I think you're overqualified.
You might be. I'm gonna put myself on tape and just fingers crossed. You know, I can't hope for any more than that.
Paul Scheer is here. NTSF SDSUV. We'll talk more about that. Talk about the new film Hell Baby. What else is going on here at Comic-Con and more with our guest in a moment here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Robert Kirkman, by the way, creator of The Walking Dead, joins us at 8 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're in San Diego for Comic-Con 2013. Right now, sitting with us, comedian, writer, director, sex machine, Paul Scheer is here.
All the above. Thank you, guys.
Paul,
thank you.
You mentioned your podcast. What's it called?
It's called How Did This Get Made.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And it's a podcast where we watch bad movies and talk about them.
I heard from one of your fans this morning who's a regular listener of the podcast who says that you could do a year on Nicolas Cage movies.
You never
run out of things to say about Nicolas Cage movies.
You can't. You basically just, I mean, he'll beat you. He'll make more movies. he'll outlast you. Although now we're finding some real joy in old Stallone classics. Like, movies that you think were good. Like, when you grew up, you're like, man, Top Gun's a great movie. Demolition Man's a great movie. They are not great movies.
Yes.
They're bad movies.
Right. You're 100% right about that. I mean, partly because movies, you could make the argument that they've improved or not, but movies, I don't know, they're back then they just seemed so unsophisticated.
Yeah,
don't they? And low rent and the special effects are so bad and
the dialogue and everything. It's like we have made such giant leaps and when you look back and you're like, wait, that was a major movie
right.
that happened? And okay, fine.
You also were telling us during the SUG poll that you, no matter how busy you are with all of your shows, always make time for The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Oh, my gosh. I love Chris Harrison. I love Dez. I am a big fan of The Bachelor, only because there's a great moment. As the seasons go on, they're kind of running out of things to do.
You think?
Yeah, a little bit. This season, they send the guys to Atlantic City.
Yes.
The guys were going crazy like they were in, like, Italy. They're like, whoa, look at this. Like, I've been to Atlantic City.
It kind of blows.
Yeah, it really blows.
It's depressing.
It really, really is a depressing place. It's like taking them to the downtown Detroit, and they're like, whoa, look at that. That building is vacant. Oh, my God. The car's burnt out.
But what do you make of the people who go on that TV show thinking they're going to find love?
Hey, look, they're there for the right reasons. And I
that's right.
I don't like the people that go on there trying to get famous or anything like that.
That's always the ultimate put down. Yeah. You're not here for love.
Yeah, right. You got to be there for the right reasons. And I don't like these dads who come on and talk about their dumb kids. You know, like they're like my kid. It's like that's like the best thing that they have is like they use their kid as a thing. It's like, oh man, my kid. I just miss him so much. And they start crying. It's like, get off the show. You don't belong here. You're not man enough. And by the way, what bachelorette wants to pick a dad with a kid? Like that, you want, like, you know, that's not sexy.
Instant family,
you know,
though.
Yeah, I guess. Instant family, that's too much.
Paul has a lot of thoughts.
He does. By the way, Kevin and I hate The Bachelor, hate The Bachelorette. I know that makes us no longer friends. But
for the same reasons you love it, I think.
Probably,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But,
and the fact that it's 2 hours long is
that's
absurd.
My biggest issue.
That's
this show should not be 2 hours
right.
long.
Do you get? Do you and your wife, when you sit there, do you get seriously invested as to who the person picks? Like, do you feel like you're watching this and you know for sure who he'd be better off with or she would like?
Let me just let you guys know that in addition to being in a fantasy football league, I'm also in a fantasy bachelor league where we have we make our picks. And there's categories like first one to get a tongue kiss, first one to go up in a helicopter. There's a lot of things. We get points based on that every week. So I'm very invested in every kind of move.
You might say too invested.
Maybe. Yeah. Unhealthily so.
I would say so.
Although I am checking a little bit more out. Like, I feel like I like the seasons where the women are the contestants more than the men. Because men are, like, trying to be so cool. Like, they're just bro-ing out all the time wearing their, like, V-neck tank tops. You know, I feel like women are a little bit more catty. It's
but
more
I
fun.
Just wonder, like, with the men's seasons, there's nothing. We've asked Chris Harrison this before. Yeah. There's no restrictions on how much sex they can have.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Why doesn't the guy who's the bachelor just nail every single one of them in the course of the show?
They probably could.
That's what I can't understand why they don't.
I think there's not enough free time to do it. The only time they finally get that sleepover night is at the end. Like, I think if they were to do it, they'd have to be like, hey, we're at medieval times. And, like, before they get on the horse
maybe
to
the bathroom.
Joust. Yeah, they'd have to do it in the bathroom. It would be very sloppy, and it would be probably unsanitary and sloppy.
It'd be a speed round.
Yeah.
Well, I had no idea there was such thing as a bachelor fantasy pool. That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't think there is such a thing. And like, we created
just
it.
You
and
your
it's
bud.
Sad. It's very sad.
All right. Well, listen, we're in our remaining moments here with Paul. When can people come see you? You're going to be – when's your panel today?
Today we are sometime during the day.
Good.
At
okay,
the Indigo Ballroom, which is fun. I think it's before 2 o'clock in afternoon. And,
Close enough.
Yeah. And then we're going to be at Nerd HQ on Saturday doing a very small panel.
Nerd HQ is awesome. We were out there with Zach Levi yesterday. It's the coolest.
It's so great. And I'm signing my comic book over at Boom tomorrow, which is a comic book place out here.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm doing a bunch of stuff. And we have Hellbaby is premiering tonight somewhere in the Gaslamp.
I can't wait for that.
So that's really fun. That's that Tom Lennon and Ben Grant, who wrote Reno 911. They wrote this movie and directed it. And it's Rob Corddry, Leslie Bibb, Kumail Nanjiani, and myself.
That movie looks awesome.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I hope it's good.
Yeah,
I don't want to have too much of an ego and say I think it. We went to Sundance. What movie about a hell baby goes to Sundance?
Right.
So there you go.
You have the coolest friends, Paul.
We're the best. We just sit around and talk about how cool we are.
How
all
great
the time.
You are.
You're funny. No, seriously, you're funny. No, but you're really
you are
funny.
Really cool. Yeah. Where'd you get that ironic T-shirt? I don't know. Where'd you get your ironic T-shirt?
Is that a fake mustache? Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Follow me back on Twitter. This is what I am thinking about doing today for our panel. I think I just want to give everybody fake mustaches, and we just come out with fake mustaches the entire time. And
I like
comment
it.
That
I like it.
You're onto something there, Paul. We love you, man. It's always
Thank
great to have
so
you on the Kevin
for
Bean Show.
Me. My big fan.
If a private performance for you and 10 of your friends from the band Linkin Park sounds like a good deal, then maybe you ought to get on over to Hot Topic, any Southern California location, pick up the brand new K-Rock sticker and put it on your car, then just look at the back and it'll tell you what to do. So the Linkin Park concert and also a $500 Hot Topic gift card at all participating stores and beer mug I guess starting Monday, he's going to be back out in the store. He's going to be meeting people and giving away additional prizes in addition to the stickers. So
we're trying to sell these things, man.
Pretty good deal. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Rambo because it's old and there's a new video game. Why now? Why is there a new video game based on Rambo, the character?
How has there not been a video game for the last 25 years based on Rambo?
Good question.
I mean, it just seems like the most obvious first-person shooter game ever is John Rambo going through the jungle killing Charlie, right?
You would think, right? I don't know.
Well, the reviews are out, Kevin. I don't know if the game has officially shipped yet, but people who have had an early look at it said that it looks like it was made 25 years ago.
It looks very bad.
It's apparently it is not completely up to speed with what modern video games are supposed to look like.
Well, so they're doing it late, but they're doing it poorly?
Apparently that's what's going on. So we wanted to find out more about the Rambo video game and what the deal is. So we asked if we could get our old friend Sylvester Stallone on the phone with us here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. And I believe he joins us right now on K-Rock. Hi, Sly.
Hey, how you guys doing, huh?
Well, we're fine. We're at Comic-Con in San Diego. Are you here this year?
Oh, Comic-Con. Yeah, I love Comic-Con, you know, because, you know, people like, you know, Rambo and Judge Dredd.
Yeah, I saw Judge Dredd yesterday.
You know, Rocky, and, you know, a lot of movies I made are very popular with those particular people, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I would imagine you would have a big fan base here, and I guess that's why a little bit of the buzz today is talking about the new Rambo video game.
Yeah, Rambo, you know, is one of the great action heroes of all time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it makes sense that you would put him in a game. But then you go,
Right, Sylvester.
Yeah.
Where are you shooting exactly there, Sylvester?
Anywhere.
Okay, all right.
Just randomly in the crowds, you know?
That's not a good idea.
That's part of the fun of the game is you get to kill a lot of innocent people.
Oh, wow. Okay. No, you're thinking of the Superman movie, completely unrelated to this.
I wouldn't make a good Superman. Well, I'd be Superman. If you decide you want to fight the big fight with Zod, I'll fight the fight.
So is it like the movies? Are the plot lines similar? Like if we saw First Blood, is it doing this as a first-person shooter? Do I get to do the same sorts of things that you did in the movie? Or are these different storylines that were written for the video games?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a lot like movie, only this time, instead of just killing, you know, Richard Crenna or, you know, other people, you get to kill, you know, women, children.
Why? Wait a
priests,
minute.
Priests, puppies.
Who wants to kill puppies?
Baristas, checkout clerks, you know, Vons or Albertsons. You know, there's different levels, you know?
It's like a bloodbath. That's awful.
You want a bloodbath? I'll show you a bloodbath!
Rambo, you all right? You okay? You all right?
You just passed a kidney stone.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 10 minutes till 8 o'clock.
Where's your chocolate milkshake? You already finished that, Kevin?
No, it's right there.
Oh, you still got it.
Yeah, I still got it.
Still working on that.
About half a gallon left in this giant.
If you're down to the second half of that, you better order the next one.
Why don't you people just
You don't want there to be any delay in between the chocolate milkshakes.
I'm just trying to sustain life here.
Lisa, you've never seen anyone eat or drink or consume more chocolate than Kevin.
I'm just done listening to it. Like, how is he not in a diabetic coma?
I don't
understand.
Literally, Kevin went to the spa yesterday and got a Hershey syrup enema. He takes chocolate into every possible orifice at the same time.
Unbelievable.
Do I have to say that's not true?
Chocolate in, chocolate out. It's pretty crazy. All right. Robert Kirkman, he's here to talk Walking Dead coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat here from Comic-Con in San Diego.
Since we are at the con, I want to share a little of the love. If you can't be down here, well, first of all, you're missing out. Make sure you come next year. But how about the exclusive Comic-Con toys that you can get on the floor of the convention?
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Big deal.
That's
lines
a big
yesterday
deal.
Were insane. Yeah. People lining up just to get all the new stuff that you can only get here.
Did you get your Batman action figures? Huh?
Got them.
Yeah. They're pretty beautiful.
They're magical.
They're really, really cool looking.
They're gorgeous. And the good people at Mattel are going to hook you up. Even if you can't be here, they are going to provide you with a very special prize pack of Comic-Con exclusive toys from Mattel, including the Hot Wheels Battlestar Galactica Cylon Raider. Boom. Wait a minute. There's more. The Hot Wheels Battlestar Galactica Colonial Viper. The Hot Wheels Atari Beach Bomb Pickup. And most importantly, the Hot Wheels
A-Team van.
Oh,
Hot Wheels now makes the A-Team van.
Is this the first time they've ever made one of those?
Mr. T not included.
How about that?
Yeah, so if you'd like to get that special collection of four exclusive Comic-Con Hot Wheels cars, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Let's say caller number 12 right now at that phone number. We'll win our exclusive Comic-Con Mattel Toys prize pack. Get them now so you don't have to go on eBay and pay nine times the price later. Because that's what a lot of people do. They buy stuff here at the con.
Right.
And then they
just turn around and sell it.
Slap it up on eBay and people who can't come will pay top dollar to get the exclusives. Because literally you can't get these toys anywhere else once they're sold out here. So good stuff. We'll talk to Seth Green about that in a little while because he's the king of the exclusive toy.
Oh, is that right?
That's all he does the first day is just shop.
Just run around and grab
just
it all.
Giant
up.
Bags and boxes full
but
of toys.
But because he's Seth Green, they let him onto the floor as soon as he gets here.
He gets the VIP treatment. Right. They take him in the back. They hook him up. And
then there's nothing left for anyone else.
That's right.
We got to find his stash, dude.
Regular man gets
While
nothing.
He's here at Comic-Con, we should have our evil minions back in L.A. finding his stash and stealing everything.
Speaking of con news, this came out this weekend that Fox has announced they are going to force these two animation giants to bury the hatchet and team up together. Family Guy and The Simpsons teaming up for a crossover episode on Family Guy called The Simpsons Guy, where Peter, Lois, Chris, Meg, Stewie, and Brian will take a road trip and find themselves in Springfield hanging out with The Simpsons.
That's going to be a weird mixture of two worlds that I don't know is going to work.
Well, it's going to work.
They did it before on Family Guy. Did you see the one where Homer came to the door?
I don't think I did.
That was pretty cool. And Seth has done a character on Simpsons this year. And so there was some animosity early on with those two franchises because
I kind of like that, sparring back and forth.
Groening said that, you know, basically Family Guy was a ripoff of The Simpsons, and they've gone back and forth. But apparently they've mended their fences and all as well.
If all the companies could work together, wouldn't it be awesome to have, like, some sort of a supersized animated movie with all the animated shows in one?
Yeah, that'd be
really interacting.
Cool.
It'd be so cool.
As you can imagine, Peter and Homer are going to square off about what's the better beer, Pawtucket Patriot or Duff. Stewie and Bart apparently take a shine to each other, and they engage in some pranks. Lisa tries to find something Meg is good at in the episode, and Marge and Lois apparently do some bonding. So I cannot wait for that.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
No.
Maybe you'll get to be on that episode, Ralph. Wouldn't that be the coolest?
I do most of them, so I'm hoping I could do something there.
Go! Oh! Maybe I could do Homer in that episode.
I think they got a Homer.
Maybe Dan Castellaneta won't be interested in doing it.
I suspect they'll be fine.
Yeah, probably. More Comic-Con news. Yesterday there was a big 20th anniversary celebration for the X-Files. Chris Carter, Gillian Anderson, and David Duchovny attended. The big item of that panel was when Gillian told the crowd she would be open to doing a third X-Files film. And as you can imagine, with that audience, that went over very well. She said she wouldn't be interested in doing a limited TV series, however. They talked about what if you did like a Netflix kind of thing, just 10 episodes.
Oh, right.
And get the gang back together and make a series. She said that wouldn't be so much for her, but she would do a feature.
Seems like it would be harder to do for an hour-long episode, though, don't you think?
The
drama?
I think also when Arrested Development faced this when they came back. You are dealing with Uber fans.
Right. I'm an Uber fan. I love Uber.
Stop it. Who have such high expectations.
Yeah.
That not only are you trying to make good television, but you're also competing against the nostalgia and the memories everyone has about the first go-around.
Which is pretty impossible to match.
Hard to do in a series. Easier to do, I think, in a feature because your budget's higher and you have one story to tell and you've got 2 hours to do
it.
So that may be the way to go.
I heard that at that X-Files panel yesterday, they drove the crowd into a frenzy a little bit by talking about whether they had filmed a sex scene between Mulder and Scully.
A never-aired sex scene.
Yeah. And people were wondering if they were just joking around up there or if that's something that really happened. And if so, if there's footage out there, why can't we see it? It was pretty funny.
Speaking of sex, Cher has come forward and said Tom Cruise is an incredible lover.
Oh, she's been directed by the Church of Scientology to make a statement?
No. They dated back in the day in the 80s when they were together. She said he was an incredible lover. So there you go, people. The gay icon Cher has said that Tom Cruise is an incredible lover.
He is so heterosexual, Mr. Cruise. My God, does he love women, and he's so good at doing things to women.
Don't you ever forget that. And Kanye West, his image is taking a bit of a beating this week. First of all, with that TMZ debacle where he accosts that photographer and tells him, don't speak, don't ever speak.
Don't talk to anyone who talks to anyone.
Don't talk to anyone who knows anyone. Don't talk to yourself. Just don't talk, was his advice. Now this tape has leaked. It is audio of a dinner that Kanye was allegedly having
After the 2009 MTV Video Music Awards, when he jumped up on stage and grabbed the microphone from Taylor Swift, talking about Beyonce's video over hers, even though she had won the award, he apologized profusely after that. People are saying it may not be genuine, because in this audio, he talks about how it's a racial thing, how MTV was featuring white performers that night and not black performers.
Ah, leave it to Kanye.
Which was one of the reasons he had to get up on stage and defend Beyonce, in his opinion. And he also talks about the fact that he should have been invited to perform instead of Pink, because he is more dedicated. His work for fame and fortune cost him a lot. Here's a little piece of that tape.
As long as I'm alive, you're going to have to deal with it. Is that going to be no more motherfucking Elvises?
Why are you so
with no
angry?
James Brown?
So angry.
Because my mother got arrested for the sinners. My mother died for this fame. I moved to Hollywood chasing this. My mother died because of this MTV.
Yeah, FMTV says at the end of that rant.
So basically, MTV doesn't care about black people. That's Kanye's right. message.
I love how his pursuit of fame killed his mom.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Well, because he moved to California to pursue his career, and his mom came with him, and then somehow California killed her.
I thought she got bad plastic surgery.
Oh, that's
Wasn't
right.
that what it was?
That's right. Actually, vanity killed his mom right. more than fame did. But just a sweetheart of a guy. I want to hang with him.
He's got issues, man.
And he's got goofy glasses with shutters on them.
That's true.
I don't understand that at all.
I just wonder how much of what's wrong with Kanye contributes to how great his art is. I wonder if him being messed up allows him to write great lyrics, for instance.
I don't know, but I'm just glad that Kim Kardashian is with him. Hopefully she's suffering. It just makes me feel better. Today's celebrity birthdays on July the 19th. Actor Campbell Scott is 52 years old today. Anthony Edwards, probably known to most people for his work on ER, but he's also been in a ton of movies, and he's got a... is that series still on, the other one he was doing? The ticking
one you're
clock
talking about,
series?
Yeah, not sure.
Out of time.
Kevin used to watch
moments.
That.
Kevin used to watch it.
Yeah, I did watch that.
Bean, when you were gone, he was really smart, and now that you're back, he's
How dare
flowers
you?
For Algernon again. He can't get through the maze.
How dare you?
51 years old today, and Jared Padalecki from Supernatural is 31 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz...
We're at Comic-Con San Diego. Every time Robert Kirkman, creator, executive producer, and writer for The Walking Dead, joins us on The Kevin and Bean Show, I know that he looks around and goes, what am I doing? I am so much better than this. This is so freaking low rent. What's a brother got to do to get on a good show?
I am so not better than this.
Well, it's always great to see you, my friend. How are you?
Oh, it's great. It's good to be here. Comic-Con, woo-hoo!
There was so little enthusiasm in that woo-woo.
Well, that's a guy who went to bed a little...
a couple hours ago.
That's all my voice can do, okay? I've been doing this for 2 days already.
How did you know... How about a little less of the music, Beer Mug, if you wouldn't mind? How did you know...
No, can we play it louder?
That's not possible. That's all it gets up to 11. How did you know when... Did you know that he was out all night, or did you just guess that from looking at him?
Oh, no, we had a conversation about 30 seconds ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do I look that bad?
That's what I was wondering.
I have to gear up for the Walking Dead panel later today.
How stretched are you for time on a weekend like this? Does everybody want you everywhere all the time? Because I know there are so many panels in addition to podcasts that are taping and all the interviews. I mean, there's a million media outlets here. Are you just being, like, dragged around?
Well, Comic-Con's a rough one just because if I was only here to promote the show, I would be, like, half as busy because, you know, there's only so much you can do to promote the show. But I'm also here as a partner in Image Comics. I'm also here promoting the Walking Dead comic and other comics that I do. So I have, like... comic panels and then show panels and then a comic interview and then a show interview, and it gets a little backed up. They give me like 5 minutes to get from place to place.
Well, you're wearing a lot of hats.
You think you'll live?
No, I don't think I'm going to make it this year.
Yeah. You know what's fascinating is we had the very funny Paul Scheer was with us last hour, who we love. He rolled in with an entourage of six, okay, and he's Paul Scheer. He's on basic cable. You're an industry. You came up by yourself. You got no people.
No one messes with me.
That's weird. Is that a surprise to you, though, Kevin, that Robert Kirkman can walk around Comic-Con by himself?
I would think he would get mobbed everywhere.
Like you
he
would
went.
Need stormtroopers or something.
I get stopped a little bit. I shake a hand. It's all good. You know,
that's awesome.
No big deal. One day I'll get stabbed, and I'll be like, man, I need that Paul Scheer entourage. I need to bring friends from high school so they can get stabbed instead.
For folks who are lucky enough to be getting away, leaving wherever you're listening to us right now and heading down to Comic-Con for the weekend, I didn't see it myself yesterday, but we heard that they have done something amazing in the main hall with The Walking Dead
photo opportunities, something on the floor. Tell us what how they've AMC has decked it out over there.
AMC's got a booth. You need to look in the program because I have no idea what the booth number is. But it's a big replica of the prison that you get to go into. And there's some zombies on the other side of the fence that'll yell at you while you go through the prison yards. And then you get to go around a corridor. And then you're in the governor's sanctuary. So you get to see his heads in fish tanks.
His collection of heads.
All that horrible stuff that you would never want to see in real life. It's here. It's here in real life. And yeah, it's scary.
I would want to see that.
Is that the stuff from the set or is that been recreated West Coast?
No, those are real heads. And they had to bring a reinforced stage because those fish tanks are 400 pounds each, and there's 12 of them.
So you really moved him from Georgia to be here at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Tell me about that moment. We don't ask very much about the writer's inspiration part of your job, Robert Kirkman, but tell me about when you came up with heads and fish tanks. Do you remember when you
wrote that? Yeah, I was I got to show that the governor is the most messed up guy ever. What would be the thing that would be a visual oh, that guy's the most messed up guy ever? And I was well, what if he doesn't have a television? And so instead, he sits in his armchair and watches zombie heads just bobble around in water.
I like it. Did you start with a jar, head in a jar, and then go, no, I got to think bigger, more water?
Yeah.
How does that work?
It was all goldfish tanks. And then I was those aren't big enough for a human head. Clearly.
I imagine there are Walking Dead fans who now want that in their home. That's the ultimate status symbol. There must be a commercial version of that you can sell to people. People should be able to buy their own.
I don't think so.
Really? Because it'd be the coolest, right?
I don't know that there would be a lot of demand for that.
Well, there's a lot of fish tanks out there that you can buy. The severed heads is a problem.
Yeah. You're on your own with that one.
Yeah. Purchase those at your own risk.
Just go across the border.
Oh.
So how far out? I'm so fascinated with your life with all the things that you juggle. But how far out do you have to – are you working on things that – that we're not going to see for a long time? For instance, what's going on in your real life right now in terms of where you are in The Walking Dead? Obviously, everything's already been written for the upcoming TV series that's already been filmed, right?
Well, no, actually, we're filming, episode 7 right now, I believe. And I just finished the script for 9 a few weeks ago. And we're, we film all the way through November. So when we come back in October, there's still 2 or 3 episodes left to be filmed. So it all kind of overlaps. But then the comic book, I'm usually 3 or 4 scripts ahead than what's coming out. So, I know what's coming, but, you got a little 3 or 4 month buffer. If I ever get really sick for a month.
Yeah, then stuff's going to back up.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
Do you have a multi-year plan in your head or do you not like to plan more than 3 or 4 episodes ahead?
We have to have a plan. Especially for the comic, because that kind of stuff comes first. I know what's going to happen in the comic 4 or 5 years from now. I need to.
Wow.
I feel like you have to be building toward that stuff. Otherwise, there's not a drive in the story. There's not a sense of oh, this is going somewhere and this is building to something. You always kind of have to know where you're going.
Is that true of the TV show too? Do you see?
Well, the TV show has
do you see how
50,
many
60 issues that we haven't adapted? So it's we'll get to that stuff.
How do you feel when you kill off a main character?
Horrible. Horrible. It's worse for the show just because the actors are involved. In the comic, it's
You're taking away somebody's livelihood.
Yeah. That part's terrible. But we do it anyway. We're heartless.
Well, you have to.
You have to be a heartless bastard.
It would be
to run
completely unrealistic if no one ever died on a show like yours.
Well, we had an AMC function, and I was talking to Gimple about it. And I was it's Scott Gimple, the new showrunner on the show. And I was this is terrible because oftentimes when we go to an actor and tell them, hey, your character is getting killed, it's because they've done such a good job that death will be so meaningful that it affects the show in a huge way. And it's congratulations, you've won, you're off the show.
You're gone.
But when you're writing the comic book and you kill somebody off, this is somebody that you've created and in some cases spent years with and understand and know and maybe have some affection for. And it must be sad to think, wow, I love this character, and I'm not going to be writing this character anymore, and it's something I'm doing to – you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah. No, it's a very emotional thing, and it is – even though they are fake characters that don't really exist, it does weigh on me the fact that I'm never going to get to write this person again.
Right,
and the
right.
TV show helps in that respect because now I can be I'll write them in the show later. But but yeah, I'm not as sadistic as people might think. I'm certainly not writing this stuff going, ah, ha, ha, now this person dies and the readers and the viewers are going to be really upset for a while.
I will kill them all.
Yeah. Well,
I do that. But
is it with all the obligations that you have now? Is it tougher and tougher to find the quiet time to be able to create and to write and draw?
A little bit, but I mean, it's easy enough to say, okay, no meetings today. Like I've got to get some work done writing, and you know, go into my basement all by myself and do the typing thing with my fingers. I still make time for that.
What's down in the basement? What do you got down there?
Keyboard.
That's it.
Pretty much.
Nothing else.
Do you have a bunch of comic books? And do you try to Transformer have toys? And I don't know.
Do you try to have very few distractions down there? Like, do you listen to music or have the TV on or anything like that?
No, I do listen to music. I don't know. I don't write in silence. I know some people do that. They're probably better than me, so maybe I should try that. But
I hear a lot of people listen to music that kind of scores the scene or the mood of the scene that they're writing. Is that you, or does it not make a difference?
Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I'll be having trouble like writing The Walking Dead, and I'll realize, oh, I'm listening to totally upbeat music. Like, what am I doing? Like, maybe that's it.
Maybe it's Cool in the Gang. Celebration is not the soundtrack you need to be listening to.
There's this band called The Dirty Three that is all like, it's like a guitar, a drum set, and a violin, and it's just like really depressing music. It's just awesome. And I actually listen to that a lot. I've been doing that a lot lately, and it seems to be helping me write.
Since you had the soundtrack album come out last year, I bet there are a million bands who are trying to figure out a way to get their music on your show.
Yeah, please don't come to me.
Yes, that's not your job.
That's AMC. I can direct you to exactly who you should talk to.
So give you a CD?
Sure, yeah. I'll take free CDs all day long. I mean, I don't know.
Robert Kirkman is here. We're talking Walking Dead, and he's got so much else that's going on, too, that we'll get into a little bit and find out what his weekend's going to be like at Comic-Con 2013. We're in San Diego. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll be right back on K-Rock.
Thank you, Lisa. It is the world-famous K-Rock at 20 minutes after 8.
Kevin and Bean in San Diego for Comic-Con 2013. We are busy bees, by the way. Some of the interviews we won't have time for on today's show that you'll hear next week here on the Kevin and Bean Show include our friend Patton Oswalt, also Bill Hader, DJ Qualls, Samuel L. Jackson. He's in the new RoboCop movie, don't you know?
Oh, I know.
So all of that coming next week. Right now, our friend Robert Kirkman is in studio, creator, executive producer, and writer of The Walking Dead. You still with us, Robert?
I am. I'm doing okay.
I don't want to bring the room down because I feel like we're having a Uh-oh. Great time here.
Well, Uh-oh. Don't.
What did I do?
Why can't your show win an Emmy? yesterday was the Emmy announcements, and we're looking at it, and we're going, excuse me, is something
no
missing
one
from
said
this
excuse
list?
Excuse me, first of all.
Or whatever we
no
said.
No one said that.
I was saying that all day yesterday.
I mean, forget the fact that it's one of the best shows on TV. It's one of the highest rated shows on TV. How does a show like that, and it has great acting, how does a show like that escape the notice of the TV people?
I don't know. At times like this, I mean, it's not a big deal. I mean, the Emmys,
it is
are,
to
the,
us.
The Emmys are nice. It'd be nice to win an Emmy. But
doesn't Andrew Lincoln deserve a goddamn Emmy?
Sure.
I mean, look at what.
But I don't care about that. I'm not going to get that Emmy. Like, what do I care?
It's not going to go around your neck.
No, look, it's upsetting because I do believe, you know, the writers deserve Emmys. The actors deserve Emmys. The show deserves Emmys. That's I'm not going to, you know, not say that. But, like, there's so many good shows out there. You know, I think about it. I'm like, oh, you know, like, I like Boardwalk Empire. I like Mad Men. I like Breaking Bad. Like, I could list, like, 12 shows that I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. You
there's
know?
Not room
like,
for all of them.
Well, it's a really tough time in television, you know, to win awards because there's so much good stuff out there. Plus, you know, people watch the show, like, I'll take that.
I mean, that's...
Yeah.
If I had to choose between Emmys or ratings, are you kidding me?
Sure. Yeah,
I don't need a statue in the bottom of my closet.
But it wouldn't suck, though, is all I'm saying.
Nah, it'd be nice.
Well, yeah, it'd be nice.
He's not going to turn it down. That's not what he's saying.
I don't know. I mean, look.
I'm going to give it back.
It's weird that I feel like we're more disappointed that The Walking Dead didn't get Emmy nominations than you are. I don't know how that happened, but we were seriously offended by that. I just want you to...
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, you know, that's great. I mean, for me, though, like, seeing people say nice things about it on the internet and knowing that there are viewers out there that, you know, absolutely love the show and support the show and think it's great is better to me than having a committee in a dark room in the back of Hollywood going, oh, this show is worthy, you know?
Like, is that how it's done?
Yeah, I think it's like, a
dark room.
A bunch of black robes and daggers. And
the Illuminati?
Cutting hands and blood dripping into, like, glasses and lightning. I don't know.
Hey,
guess who's never getting an Emmy now?
It's about time somebody exposed that procedure. Tell me about...
A bunch of babies.
The Walking Dead 400 Days. Tell me about that.
Oh, it's a mini chapter of the Walking Dead video game from Telltale. That's like a standalone story of like many people encountering this same location.
Midgets?
Over the course of that is an offensive term.
No,
sir. You should be ashamed.
I think
of yourself.
He said many.
Oh, I thought he said many.
Or did you say many?
Oh, I thought
no. It's like a mini story.
Ah, see, he was talking about
right,
many people.
Many.
He's talking about people
McNuggets. Many
dwarves. Right.
By the way, I haven't had a lot of sleep. So I have no idea what I just said. But anyway, it's about all these people encountering the same location over the course of 400 days. So it's like you stay on this location and you see all these different people coming in. And the stories overlap and there's zombies and cool stuff going
on.
So
they live in the same universe of The Walking Dead comic book, but yes. They just don't interact with the characters we know and love. They're off someplace else.
Well, this ties in with the first game, and the first game had a lot of little Easter eggs of like, oh, here's where Glenn was before you saw him in the comic and stuff like that. So it's all in the same universe. If you're reading the comic and playing the game, reading the novel series, like there are little, you know, nods and things that will enrich the experience, but they all can be enjoyed separately.
Will we ever see the zombies in Russia and the zombies in South Africa and the zombies in Australia and stuff like that?
I don't know, man. Who knows? But
they're gonna get on a ship.
I like that the comic book is like laser focused on people and their struggles, right. And like they don't know what's going on in Russia, so we don't know what's going on in Russia. Like I feel like expanding the world to that extent could like dilute things a little bit.
I understand. No moon zombies.
Well,
Martian
zombies. Now you're saying moon zombies. I got to rethink things. That sounds pretty awesome.
Tell us
a new comic book.
Moon zombies, I like it.
I'm writing that down.
Tell us what's, if anything, what's different with the zombie course that is happening here at Comic-Con.
Well, one thing we're doing this year is we're only running it at night. So there's no more like running around in the daytime and it being safe. Like it's scarier, it's darker, the obstacle course is harder to get through because you can't see anything because it's night. I'm not selling this well at all.
Sweet, yes,
but,
you are.
But no, I mean, it's going to be a creepier experience. It's going to be a cooler experience, and they've made it bigger and better. If you did it last year and you're doing it this year, you'll notice that you know it's a little more awesome this
year.
Kevin,
you ran it last year.
I did.
Did you run it with Robert?
Yeah. Yes.
We did. Holding hands and stuff.
Yeah, we were holding hands for about half of it.
we were out of breath, buddies.
And
we were leaning over.
Hold me.
And is that the type of thing for folks that are coming down to Comic-Con that they can just walk up and buy a ticket and get into?
Yeah.
It's not an advance.
I think there's a queue, so I think you might have to buy a ticket for like 11:15 or something like that. But yeah, if you come in, you don't have to have any kind of pass for the convention. You can just come in and go to the obstacle course if you couldn't get into the convention.
Have you seen a lot of the zombies walking around the streets here in San Diego this week?
I see that from time to time.
It's kind of weird.
It's a little strange. It's a lot of, sometimes, like last year, they were giving away little flyers for like the DVD or something, and they would come up to me and give me a flyer.
I got it.
I should get this DVD. Thank you very much.
You mentioned that you're here with Image Comics also. What kind of things are you going to be talking about?
Well, the Walking Dead comic has its 10th anniversary coming up, so we're talking a lot about that. You know, we're doing a huge storyline called All Out War to celebrate our 10th anniversary. It'll start in issue 115. And, you know, it's actually going to ship 12 issues over the course of 7 months. So we're going to be doing the comic book faster for a while, just because it's a bigger, fast-paced storyline. And I want to make sure that, you know, people, like, see just how monumental and you know, earth-shattering the story is that, without having to wait for a long period of time. But yeah, and we're doing a lot of promotion on that and then other stuff around the 10th anniversary.
I read that you've sold over 1 million books in the last year and a half. Is that possible?
I don't know, man. People say stuff like that, and I'm like, I guess. I don't keep track.
Yeah, 10 million.
Sure. That's what my mom says.
Disagree to it.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
No, it's really overwhelming. I mean, it's just great to know that, like, you know, people respond to it, people enjoy it, and, you know, those numbers do get crazy sometimes, and I'm like, what? Like, how? That's a lot of paper. Sorry.
Yeah, right? You're personally responsible for the destruction of every tree on Earth.
Oh, well.
Is there ever... We may have asked you this before, but...
Look, it's a trade-off, man. Every tree on Earth or, you know, a sports court.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
We may have brought this up before, but is there any reason to ever do a Walking Dead movie? Or can you just do everything you want to do on TV, so why bother?
Well, I think, you know, Walking Dead works on television. You know, it's the zombie movie that never ends. You know, I think, I don't think that precludes there ever being some kind of a chapter that's told in movie form, but I don't know that there are any plans to do that yet.
Not in a rush to get to that?
No, I mean, the TV show is, like, it's so much fun, and it's a perfect format, and AMC lets us get away with murder, literally. So,
literally?
You know, oh, that was a good joke. Sorry.
Robert's so tired.
He's so tired.
Only Friday morning, right?
They get away with murder, literally.
You have a long weekend ahead of you, you know that? All right, last question for me.
My Sunday interviews are going to be amazing.
Yes, they are.
I want to hear every one of them. Last question for me. What, not related to your work, are you most excited about here at Comic-Con? Either a panel or a toy or just something that you are just going to fanboy geek out on?
You know, Hasbro's got a big Metroplex that's like 3 feet tall, and most people have no idea what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a Transformer toy. It's limited. You can only get it here.
Is that the one we saw yesterday, Dave? That Transformers toy the guy was carrying around that was like this big?
Yeah.
That was pretty wild.
It's like, I'm going to come to Comic-Con where you have to walk 4 miles with 4,000 people around you, and I'm going to buy something that's essentially a piano I have to carry under my arm.
So are you a toy collector then?
I mean, I'm a Transformer collector. Like, I don't buy a lot of toys. I get the toys that I wasn't allowed to get when I was a kid because my parents were poor.
No,
right.
So I'll do that. But and then, like, a lot of Transformer replicas and stuff like that. I don't buy everything, but I don't know. I love them robots, I guess.
What can you?
This is so embarrassing.
What can you tease us about the new season? What can you tell us about what's coming in October? Anything?
I can say nothing.
Yeah, you can say something.
No, it's great stuff. I mean, the governor is still out there. Everybody who saw the end of season three knows that, you know, that guy kind of, you know, was defeated and rode off in disgrace after, you know, murdering a bunch of his own people.
Slipped away.
That's certainly not the end of his story, but we're doing a lot of new things this season. You know, we're going to come back after a bit of a gap. We're going to see a completely different prison with completely different characters. I mean, it's Rick Grimes, but it's not the same Rick Grimes. Like, he's going to have, you know, changed his perspective on things. And, you know, a lot of these characters have grown in really cool and interesting ways in between the season. So, and Carl died for you. Carl died.
Oh, you're such a liar. Finally,
no, you're such a liar.
He didn't, because he's the best.
he's the best.
You're crazy.
Yeah, I know. I'm finding that out. I seem to be on the wrong side of
that
whole argument.
Did you see he got a cover on Entertainment Weekly?
I did see that.
Yeah.
Somebody
really?
Tweeted it to me specifically because they wanted me to see that Carl was on Entertainment Weekly. I was like,
you've been on the cover of Entertainment Weekly?
I said, I always loved. No, of course not. You're crazy.
Kevin wants to knock that cowboy hat off his head and then knock his head off his head. That's what he wants.
So the story continues behind the scenes, sort of, and then when we join it again, it'll be kind of at a different place.
Yeah,
I, like
I think it's fun to come back and be like, wait, why is Daryl doing that? And then find out later. You know, it's cool stuff.
Can I just request more Maggie torture scenes, please? That's my only thing I'd like to see more of next season.
I was uncomfortable with that.
Wow, okay.
Well, I'd rather that not happen.
Maybe you need to talk to somebody.
Yes, he does.
All right.
But yes, there's going to be tons.
Robert Kirkman has been our guest. He needs either a nap or to leave because he has another very important interview to do in some place that's not in a hall. Let's give it up to the man for stopping by here today. Always great to see you, sir. Thank you for the time.
Thanks a lot.
39 yesterday afternoon around the pool at the Hard Rock Hotel here in San Diego. We got a chance to catch up with one of the new stars of Comic-Con.
Kevin, am I right when you say Comic-Con 2013, the only name that comes to mind is Slash?
Yeah, right.
Right? Guns N' Roses, Velvet Revolver, Slash's Snake Pit, and now Comic-Con. What the F?
Well, I produced a horror movie, and so that naturally brought me to Comic-Con to promote it. So
now, what do you do as a producer? You hire a director, writer?
Let's see. I hired the writer came first. I was given a script and I thought, yeah, this would be great to produce. It's a long story. But anyway, so the writer came first, but then I went and I found the director and we got together and we cast the movie and we put together all the special effects teams that we wanted to use and the mixing studios and the actual location where we're going to shoot it and all that kind of stuff.
Forgive me for not knowing, but where did you learn any of that?
Well, I'm just, I sort of made it up as I went along. Yeah, you know, this was definitely totally out of passion. I'm a horror movie fan since I was a kid with the Hammer movies back in the day, and I was given the opportunity to produce some a film, and I said, I have no aspirations to become a producer, but when I was given a bunch of scripts to start going through, because this person who gave me the scripts thought that I would make a great producer, because I knew so much about movie making and about stories and what made great stories, what made bad stories, what's wrong with the horror genre, what's great about the old movies, blah, blah, blah. And so once I got into it, I had some assistance from my partner who has experience in this, and we just did it together. And
it does seem like movie producing, like opening a restaurant or buying a yacht, is an easy way to just lose your ass. I mean, it can be expensive, right?
You don't put your own money into producing. You borrow it.
Oh, there's the answer. So basically, you
got to find people that trust you enough to loan you the money. Yeah. And that took a long time.
What are some of your all-time favorite horror movies?
Well, Rosemary's Baby is one. that one had a direct influence on this movie, Nothing Left to Fear, that we just did. But I'd say, you know, like The Exorcist, original Night of the Living Dead, The Omen was a big one. And then you go back, you know, there was like anything with Vincent Price in it back in the day, and Bela Lugosi's Dracula, Quasimodo, you know, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, all that really old stuff, King Kong, Vampires at Midnight, all these really, that all huge.
So pre-CGI, basically. I mean, these are just actors in creepy situations that you just couldn't shake days later.
Well, the thing is the reason I'm doing this, one of the things that made it exciting for me was that there's certain elements of storytelling that have been dissipated over the years, which is because everything is so instantaneous, you know, sort of like shock and awe happens immediately as soon as the movie starts. And there's no story. There's no characters that you sort of invest in, and I sort of wanted to do something where it would more or less bring that back, or at least do it for myself.
Right. You know, so. Now you've done everything there is to do in the music business, but you're starting from scratch here as a new player in the movie business. How do you go around knocking on doors and getting, you know, distribution, getting in theaters and getting people? I mean, your name obviously helps.
The name helped. The name helped at least to get people interested in listening to what I had to say.
How about music for the movie? That seems like something you'd some input on.
That's, you know, that's part of the attraction, because the perfect movie-going experience is obviously the visual, but the marriage between the audio, you know, the actual music, the two, when they're combined and they actually work together, is to me, it's the ultimate entertainment thing, right? So being involved with the music was part of the turn-on of doing this.
Could you be in the movie and get killed or something if you wanted to be?
I suppose I could if the director thought that it was appropriate.
You think you could die convincingly?
I couldn't act to save my life.
Have you started working on your Oscar speech yet? Just in case.
Yeah, right.
Got to know.
Our movies don't tend to get Oscars, but if it happens, I'll call you up and we can write one together.
Which, by the way, is super bogus, because horror movies, there are some horror movies that are among the greatest movies ever, but you're right. They just, for whatever reason, the Academy says no.
Comedies and horror movies.
Yeah. Who's in the movie? Anyone we know?
Clancy Brown, you would know. And he's somebody that I knew, and I didn't know his name. But he's
one of those
very
guys
familiar.
He's a great actor. But, yeah.
But he was in Shawshank Redemption. He was the warden's sidekick.
Okay.
And he was also in Bad Boys way back in the 80s. He was the bad, like, he was friends with Emilio I can't remember his name now. And then he was also in Highlander. He was the bad guy in Highlander.
So
really great. Anyway,
you're arm wrestling Rob Zombie for the Halloween movie of the year, basically, right? Like, that's his month. That's when Rob always comes out with his movie. So you're taking him down now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I actually wasn't thinking that at all.
I'm trying to start a beef here, Slash.
I don't
Come
think
on.
He's got a movie coming out. His movie already came
and
out.
You've already won.
Yeah.
You kicked his ass.
Yeah, I was actually very pleased to have it coming out in October.
Yeah. It sounds fun, man. It sounds like it's, you know.
You'll dig the movie. It's
cool. It sounds awesome.
Cool.
Congratulations. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
What's the exact...
So bizarre sitting between you guys.
Yeah. Pretty sexy, right?
Yeah.
Not
at all.
It's the worst threesome you've ever been a part of. Am I right?
Like, can I leave now?
Our friend Seth Green, who always has a busy, busy weekend at Comic-Con, is squeezing in some time for the Kevin and Bean Show. He'll be joining us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock right now. What?
The show is just getting in the way of Comic-Con for me. That's all it's doing.
Well, we got another hour, then
whenever.
You can move on with your life.
You know,
No. What do you mean no?
Comic-Con going on out there, and I'm here with you, Jamokes.
Comic-Con is going on in here, too. Ooh, this is part of Comic-Con.
Wooga, wooga. Hey, ding, 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 ding. Oh, she's hot.
This is part of Comic-Con.
Come on.
Is that your recap of the Kevin and Bean Show?
Yes. Oh, my computer doesn't work. I'm wasting my time here doing nothing.
What you're doing is the showbiz beat for the Kevin and Bean listeners here at 8:54.
Anna Chelmsky,
yes,
from Veep. She's having quite the month. Yesterday, she gets a Emmy nomination for her work on Veep. Well-deserved.
I agree.
And also announced yesterday by People Magazine that she gave birth to her first baby on July the 11th.
Did she know that was happening?
No, that was a total surprise. She thought she was just really constipated. And the next thing you know...
She didn't even know she was nominated.
Baby. Penelope Joan is the name of her little girl. Penelope Joan.
Wait, she's a celebrity. She's supposed to name it some kind of effed up name.
She should have named it Formica or... Spandex or something, but no, Penelope is a normal name.
Wow.
She said she's still in shock about her nomination yesterday, and she was breastfeeding when she got the call from her producer saying that she had been nominated.
Hmm. All right. Nothing creepy, Bean?
I left a big creepy space there, and you didn't fill it.
I have nothing but support and admiration for a woman who wants to use her breast for anything.
There it is.
Kanye West,
lucky baby,
took some heat from everybody when he went after that TMZ reporter, telling him, "Don't speak, don't
right.
speak to me, don't speak to anyone I know.
Kanye,
don't
has...
speak to anyone who knows anyone.
Right?
Don't talk to yourselves. Don't talk.
Don't think."
Was his
Kanye has some control issues. He believes that it's his world, and the rest of us should be abiding by his rules if we want to live in his world. Right?
Right. Well, guess who's coming to his defense? Kris Jenner.
Oh, that's the last thing he wants.
Appeared on the Talk TV series. That's like The View. I'm sorry. It's exactly like The View, only with different people.
Right. That's the one with the Chen bot is on that, right? And
yes.
the lesbian from Roseanne is on that.
Right.
And I think Aisha Tyler, maybe. I know the one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. She was on there, and they said, well, what about this? And they played the clip for her, and she said, well, you can't judge Kanye because no one knows what happened before that video was shot, and she assumes he was provoked by the reporter into that behavior.
Because Kanye needs to be provoked.
She also said he was sleep deprived, and that's why he reacted that way.
That's science.
That's science. When you don't sleep, you become an asshole and break people's cameras.
These are facts.
Robert Kirkman did it on the way out.
That's
true. I saw him break somebody's camera and tell him don't talk.
To anyone.
To anyone. Speaking of Kanye, his rep continues to take a hit. Yesterday, it was leaked some audio of a dinner that he had, allegedly, right after the 2009 MTV Video Music Awards. That's when he jumped up on stage and wouldn't let Taylor Swift finish her acceptance speech. He apologized profusely after that, saying how wrong he was. This audio may lead you to believe that those apologies weren't exactly sincere. He went off on MTV claiming that there was a racial bias by the awards they gave out and who they allowed to perform on the show that evening. He was upset that Eminem won Best Rap Video. He was upset that Pink performed two songs, but they did not ask him to perform his hit Heartless on the show at all.
So he's...
He was defending Beyonce as a member of the African-American race because Taylor Swift won over Beyonce, so he had to get up on stage.
So Eminem can't win that because he's not black?
No white can win. That is the...
All right.
Don't win. Don't win. Don't win to anyone who knows someone who wins.
All right.
Don't win to yourself. Don't win.
Okay.
Here is the audio. He is talking about how he sacrificed everything for fame. That's why nothing will stop him. You have to put a bullet in his head to stop him from defending black recording artists.
As long as I'm alive, you're going to have to deal with it. Because there ain't going to be no more motherfucking Elvises.
Why is
with
so
no
angry?
James Brown.
Why is so angry?
Because my brother got arrested for the sinners. My mother died for this fame. I moved to Hollywood chasing this. My mother died because of MTV.
Yeah.
What does he mean, do you think, when he says...
I love his date, by the way, saying, why are you so
angry?
What does he mean when he says there ain't going to be no more Elvises, there ain't going to be no more James Browns?
It's him. He is the biggest star in the world.
Oh, I got you. Okay, okay.
There's not going to be another Elvis that comes along that right. surpasses him. There's not going to be a James Brown that comes along and surpasses him. He is it. He's the pinnacle of musical stardom.
Okay.
So he is going to be the voice of reason. He's going to speak out.
So why does MTV let anyone else perform when Kanye's there?
That's what...
Got it.
That's what... He's saying. He said, I don't know that Pink song, but I noticed that she's pink. See what they did there?
Because she's not black.
Right.
Right.
Once again, Bean, you've crystallized my thoughts perfectly. And Kanye West.
He's a jackass.
He is, he is a tremendous jackass. And in no way does his talent balance out that tremendous ego and attitude that he throws around.
Asshole.
That's right, what
thank
we're
you.
Saying.
Thank yes. you, ma'am.
You put a point on it. And you can subtract the half men from 2.5 men. TVLine.com is reporting that producers are reshooting the title sequence for the upcoming season 11, by the way, of that show.
This is the kid that went on and said this is a terrible show, don't watch it.
Angus T. Jones found Jesus.
That's right.
And also found unemployment. Because what they're doing is letting him go. He will no longer be a regular on that show. So they're taking him out of the title sequence. Men,
sweet.
Men. Now, will it just be Ashton Kutcher and John Cryer, or will they add in the brand new character they're bringing to the show? Charlie Sheen's character, Charlie Harper, apparently had a long-lost lesbian daughter. She is coming on to the show to add to the hilarity, and people are speculating maybe they will edit her into the opening sequence.
Two and a Half Men. If you watch Two and a Half Men, please stop watching Two and a Half Men. I'm on Two and a Half Men. I don't want to be on it. Please stop watching it.
Mission accomplished.
Shocking that
nicely
he
done.
Would lose his job over that. I can't believe it.
Just because he doesn't want to be on the show anymore, all of a sudden now he's not on the show anymore?
That's right. I better watch my ass. I better straighten up, or next thing you know.
Yeah, you have made no secret of your disdain for this program.
Might be editing me out of the Kevin and Bean show. Today's celebrity birthdays on this July the 19th. Campbell Scott is 52 years old today. Anthony...
The right, lies. The lies he tells. This guy sits down. He starts spewing lies the minute he gets here.
I may never recognize people.
Hi, Seth Green.
Hi, guys.
Why are you lying to us?
It's all true what he says.
He's yelling at us.
I may not recognize people, faces, names, or context.
Right.
But I remember facts and situations.
Okay.
And attitudes.
And what's the fact and situation that you were screaming about 30 seconds ago?
Oh, I was just giving you guys a hard time. Because it was pre-2007, before like the Transformers movie came out and before all of Hollywood started paying attention. Nay, the world started paying attention to Comic-Con.
Right.
You guys gave me and Ralph so much grief.
We did.
About loving Comic-Con.
That's how you remember it, huh?
It is.
That's your version of the event.
You start talking. Well, you guys were like, oh, you guys with your geeks and your attitudes.
We did that totally.
Yes. You're like the jocks pushing us around in the playground, and now we own your ass.
And but then we're just looking up to you guys going, what's going on?
No. We've actually all been principal and completely devolving those archetypes. And now we can all share in this awesome communion that is here for just us.
So no one is enjoying the revenge of the nerds more than Seth Green. Like, you are king of the world now, and you know it, and, like, eat it. Kevin and Bean, right?
Please don't characterize me like that. That's no. I love the opportunity to get to make awesome stuff, and I love the quality of product based on the things that I really enjoy. I've been coming to Comic-Con a long time, and I think everybody knows I'm a big toy nerd. I mean, I like toys so much I made a TV show about it.
That's right. You made them TV stars.
Let's talk about you being a toy nerd. What's going on this year that
such a good year.
In other words,
just got off the floor, by the way.
I only had like a 3-minute breeze across. I used it as a cut through.
Brag about what you have that we don't, Seth. That's what this segment's called.
If you want to see what we've been getting at the con, it's posted all over my Instagram, my Twitter. If you want a visual thing. But I went to – what are the big things you're excited about? Grabbed the Mattel stuff.
Yeah, I'm a diehard 66 Batman guy. That's my collection.
And there's a
truckload
of stuff
this
there.
This year is just blowing up. Yeah. I mean, did you see the Hot Toys, the 66 Batman and Robin from Hot Toys?
The tall ones.
The tall ones.
I don't get –
with the cloth costumes.
It's awesome.
And amazing likenesses. The sculpts are incredible. And
yes.
They've got a scale Batmobile.
Hot Toys crushes. They did all the awesome Iron Man stuff, all the Avengers stuff. They kill it. I don't collect the like tall format stuff. It's too big.
Robert Kirkman was just here a few minutes ago from.
I need a bigger house then.
Robert Kirkman was
I married somebody who has a huge collection, and now we have twice as much stuff.
You live in a museum.
Hey, although when we come to Con, we don't have to get as much.
I'm telling a story here.
Yes.
Hey, we're talking.
No one cares about you.
Robert Kirkman.
Yes,
I do
Robert
care
Kirkman
about
was
him.
Just here. He just left. He is a massive Transformers collector. That's his thing. So he's got his eye. He knew before he came to Comic Con the new Transformers stuff.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he wants, right?
Yeah.
Although he's not sure he can lift it.
It's big.
What's your?
Of course I know.
What's your thing that you came here going?
Yeah.
I'm not driving home without it.
There's a couple things, but I got the thing I was most excited about. Super 7 did repros of the 79 Alien toys that Kenner was supposed to make that were canceled, and so they did a two-pack, the astronaut and the alien, and then they let you buy the early bird.
So they let you in before everybody else.
No. This is it. When the Star Wars toys first came out, the production didn't meet the demand, and so people could buy this cardboard placeholder.
It was a promise of toys to come.
An early bird kit.
Oh,
I see. Months later, everyone got a four-pack. It was Chewbacca, Luke Skywalker, R2, and Princess Leia.
Right. Obviously.
And so, Super 7, they did... sort of like a repro of that, only it's all of the cast of the aliens.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's pretty cool. So I went and got that, and then I went by Hasbro, and I got that Deadpool truck, the taco truck.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. What am I forgetting? There was so much awesome stuff. I got that Dexter box from Entertainment Earth.
What does Seth's house look like, you guys?
The lunchbox looks like the slides.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. The Black Label Boba Fett came out. It's a good year, man. The Joe Transformers crossover. That was the thing I really wanted too.
Because your wife is also a toy geek, you're allowed to put your stuff anywhere in the house. Because Ralph is just, you know, he's relegated to one area.
We don't do it like that.
It's a room.
I have a bunch of stuff at the studio too, which makes it a little bit easier. I'm sure you guys can put stuff in your studio office that's not in your house. But Claire and I share an office, and we both have our stuff all over it. And then we also have like a game room where there's a ping pong table and stuff like that, and there's toys all over that. But the rest of the house looks like a house. We try to give the appearance of being adults wherever possible.
Given Robot Chicken's success, are you excited about the reboot of the Migos, the 8-inch action figures?
I love that format. I mean, those were around when I was really young. So some of them, those are some of the first toys that I have, some of the first toy memories that I have. So I always have a soft spot.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Is this a hardcore, you're going to hang on to this stuff, or do you wheel and deal stuff all year round?
So I made a promise about 10 years ago because I think everybody got screwed in 96 when all the Star Wars stuff came out and everyone was like, oh, I will recapture my youth. And yeah. You just have a storage unit full of stuff. So I finally got rid of all that stuff and made a promise that I wasn't going to buy anything that I wouldn't take out of the package. So nothing that wasn't going to get open. I'm not going to like preserve anything behind glass.
You take your toys out of the box?
There's only like one or two things that you keep. A couple years ago, Mattel made that Wonder Twins pack where the box opens up and has all the noise and everything.
Right.
So obviously, we kept that in the box.
Yeah. Well, you got to get doubles. You get one to open and one to hold on.
I just don't do that anymore.
Oh, yeah. Bastard.
This is a question that's going to be difficult for me to put into words. But does your relationship with Star Wars, has it changed now that you're actually friends with George Lucas?
I guess so, because I've been given an opportunity to contribute to it. You know, so that gives me a different sense of responsibility as far as how the audience interprets that media. You know what I mean?
In other words, because of all the Robot Chicken Star Wars specials you were able to make, you're now kind of part of the universe?
No, we spent 4 years working on an animated cartoon that George Lucas created called Detours, which when they decided to make new movies got shelved, essentially. But we've got 39 finished episodes and 60 finished scripts. And everybody, Kathleen Kennedy said that there will be a time when the show gets seen. It's just the plan for releasing these movies and how you give this new generation the opportunity to own their own Star Wars.
Right.
It's just a big concept. And
they just wanted to sort of clear the playing field before they introduced their next.
Well, and you also
stage,
have to think
right?
about it this way. Like, George, pre-deciding that they were going to make those movies, wanted to make a Simpsons in the Star Wars universe. And that's what we did. We utilized all those characters and ancillary characters, and we created an ongoing storyline that's comedy-based. And so when you reinvent those characters in that vein, you'd have to imagine kids between 4 and 12 for the next 3 or 4 years before those movies come out, seeing Darth Vader as a beleaguered middle management guy under an insane CEO. And, you know, at the end of, in the beginning of episode 7, it needs to feel like, you know, post-Germany Hitler being killed. It needs to feel like, oh my gosh, Stalin was finally eliminated. What comes now? And so if we spend the next 3 years
cracking wise,
teaching people, well, it would be their introduction.
Yeah, right.
Like, I had a lot of people, and I'm sure that you the same with Family Guy, I had people come up to me and say, oh my gosh, I introduced my kids to Star Wars via Robot Chicken. I said, that is handicapping your child in the most like cynical way.
It's a lot to overcome.
It really is. And granted, everything that we do in parody is from love, but this show,
it would confuse the kids. You're right.
It is, and it's a bold move, but I think it's a really smart decision. It just speaks to how Kathy wants to run this company.
Were you thrilled when the Star Wars Disney news came out?
Yeah, man. I think that's cool. Like, I know everybody wants to get sad and everybody wants to feel a little dystopic, but if you look at what the Pixar Disney union did for Pixar beyond Cars 2 and Planes, if you look at what Disney Marvel has done for Marvel, like, it's a higher quality of product, it's a wider range of distribution, and for nerds like me who went to the Harry Potter world at Universal and loved it, I'm looking forward to being able to go to the cantina and have a shootout with Greedo. Like, sure. Don't you want that?
Yeah,
I want that.
Because Disney, they are big picture people. They create,
I don't think people realize,
worlds around their properties that really do add to the experience.
That's what Walt Disney's vision always was. But I don't think people realize that up until last year, every single thing that Lucasfilm did, George Lucas paid out of pocket. Like, he kept himself separated from any obligation to anybody else by just owning everything that he made.
Right.
And he built all these companies that continued to generate revenue. And then he was just like, all right,
I'm done.
I'm done. Who's next?
I'm going to go do some important stuff around the planet.
Go get married and save the world.
See if I can't fix this education thing, some clean water initiatives, and just generally build jetpacks for everyone.
Seth Green is here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're at Comic-Con in San Diego. When we return, we'll talk some more about what Seth's weekend is looking like. And also, we got to talk about Robot Chicken DC Comic Special 2013.
I'm so excited. You got to come see it. We're going to shoot in like 6 weeks.
What a playground that must be for you, Seth. Yeah. We'll talk about that when we return here on the Kevin Bean Show on Cable. Paging Seth. Seth Green. Seth Green, hello. Oh, we just lost.
Seth has got to do a little showbiz schmooze.
Oh, I'm so popular. All these people walking by, I got to say hello to. I know everybody.
Sorry, guys. When people come to Hollywood, I'm the check stand.
Hey,
what's your name? What are you here to do? All right,
he's the clipboard holder outside the velvet rope.
Now, Ralph,
we are in a hallway. In his defense, we're in a hallway where people are walking by, so that makes
it
a little
more. The hotel where everything is happening at Comic-Con.
Yeah. When I, right before we broke, I teased that we're going to be talking about the new Robot Chicken DC Comic Special 2013, and Ralph expressed himself just like that.
I just filled my pants.
What's the deal? Tell us more, Seth.
The Robot Chicken DC Comic Special 2, : Villains in Paradise.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hashtag RCDC2VIP. It actually won't be out, I think, until early 2014, but it is the follow-up to our hugely successful DC special.
Did you get Emmy nominated for that?
We did, and we won an Annie for it.
Wow, congratulations.
Thanks.
And by the way, we were talking about the Star Wars universe.
Oh, actually, no, we didn't get – the Emmy was for the Christmas special this year.
Oh, it was for Christmas special. Okay.
We were talking about the Star Wars universe in the last break. This is similar in that you have a whole universe of characters that you've grown up your whole life loving that you get to play with.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's insane that you get that kind of
– Are you a DC over Marvel guy?
I'm a character-to-character person. I'm not like a universe person.
Oh, okay.
So I love Batman. Batman is probably one of my favorite superheroes. Right. But then I love Spider-Man, and Spider-Man was like – my second love, because Fantastic Four was the thing that got me into comics.
Right.
Yeah.
But the DC special with the villains, you're talking Riddler and Joker and
we
all
had
the
so much fun, because it was all Legion of Doom, and we got Alfred Molina to play Lex Luthor, and he was amazing. It was just amazing. And then we got Paul Rubens to play the Riddler, and everything just worked so well. And when we got the chance to make a second one, we were like, we should spend some time with those villains. And so the plan was to spend time with the villains, and then I discovered that Lex Luthor has a daughter in canon. Like, he actually has a daughter in canon.
Really?
And so we asked Jeff Johns if she could be a teenager, and he said, absolutely. So in the RCDC2VIP, you meet Lex Luthor's teenage daughter.
Is she surly by any chance?
She's less surly than she just wants a better summer than interning at the Legion of Doom. What are we doing today, Dad? Putting a nuclear submarine inside a building? Great. I would like to get a tan once in my life.
That's awesome.
How often do you get pulled back on the characters when you're doing this kind of thing? Like you just mentioned.
Right.
Jeff basically let you do anything.
Well, within reason, like we don't mess with canon, or we don't do anything that's we still stay within provable parody, and we don't do anything that's highly insulting, but that's not really our nature. We just like to have fun. We just like to point out the humanity in most of this fantasy, you know? Yeah.
You're true to the characters. You just put them in these insane situations and watch them react. That's the beauty of it.
Isn't that fun?
And who are some of the guests that you have? Guest voices?
It's, wow.
I mean,
Rubens as the Riddler is genius.
It's awesome.
Guy.
He's so awesome. He just came and recorded. We got Alfred Molina to record already. There's still a couple of things pending. Like, we're still waiting.
Can't talk about that?
I just want to make sure it actually happens before I talk about it. But it could be really cool. And there's a sing-along.
So yes. Neil Patrick Harris is in it then. We know that.
No, Neil. I mean, he couldn't do it. He's actually doing like 3 shows and writing a book right now.
Yeah, he just
finished
ridiculous.
Seth MacFarlane's movie out there in the desert.
And he's making a movie in the desert.
Yes.
All right, before we have to go, Seth, what are you doing at Comic-Con? Where can Seth Green fans find you? What's your schedule like this weekend?
Wait, I have a list. So
it's got a laminated.
Later today at 11 o'clock, Matt and I are doing a signing with Tokidoki.
Oh, awesome.
We have a Stupid Monkey Tokidoki
great
crossover. And then we have the robot panel at 3:15 in the Indigo Ballroom in the Hilton Bayfront. And then if you're around tomorrow at 1:45, we've got the Family Guy panel in Ballroom 20.
And finally, God, it's you and Alex. Who else from the gang is showing up?
Mavericks, he's still shooting, and so is, right, so is Mila, I guess. So then it's probably Danny Smith, maybe Sheridan. Mark Henneman said he was maybe coming, but he wasn't excited about
Rich,
it.
Rich, Appel, anybody, do you know?
I don't know. Rich, maybe. Rich, yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm going to stop by and say hi to the gang.
Please stop by.
What kind of questions do you get from the fans?
We usually get a lot of, oh, Mr. McFarlane, if someone were to want to do a voiceover, where would they audition? And we're just like, get out.
Stop it.
Just get out. That's not what this is, dude.
Ralph already has all those jobs anyway.
I'm the one-off man.
You're the guy.
I'm cop number one. That is handled. The senator. That
I gotta say,
guys,
this body looks dead.
I am surgeon number
cab
three.
Cab driver, whatever
cab
it takes.
Cab driver, I'm those guys. Those roles are filled.
We gotta stop this bleeding.
Well, Seth,
affected to me.
Thank you for coming by as always. It's not really.
You always say that about penises.
It's not really Comic Con unless Seth Reed stops by to do the Kevin DeBeach show, right?
For us,
it
it's
is.
Not.
It's Comic Con.
Oh,
Comic Con precise.
Now we want to talk about Comic Con.
Right.
When we were in studio doing the con wrap up, and I said, "You would not believe the exclusives we got." You guys were like, "Nerd alert!"
Man, do you tell stories? You have such an active imagination.
And now you're like, "Oh, Katie Sackhoff, I watched every season of BSG." You say BSG, right?
Yeah, that's what you say.
All right, Seth. Have a great weekend, man. We'll see you
soon, guys. Right.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin DeBeach Show from San Diego at 9:41.
That Seth Green seemed a little revenge happy for my taste today, man. He was a little machete kills on us, wasn't he?
Well, you reap what you sow, mother effer.
Well,
all
saying.
Those years of taking digs at the geeks. Oh, yeah. You guys are nerds with your comic books and your superheroes. And now we rule the school.
Yeah. We did a lot of
you're
that.
You're sucking hind teeth.
Not sure we're doing that.
That's exactly what you're doing. You're the runt of the litter now. Squeal, little piggy, squeal.
We're sucking hind teeth.
Ralph is here for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on the final day of the Kevin DeBeach Show live from Comic-Con. But I do want to mention again, we got so much stuff, we haven't had a chance to play it on the radio, so just a ton of interviews next week that we're getting here this week. People like Lars Ulrich and Patton Oswalt and Bill Hader and people like that that we just haven't had time to play yet. But you'll hear them next week on the Kevin DeBeach.
When is that Talica show? Is that tonight?
Tonight.
Tonight, yeah. The super secret location.
Yeah.
Have you found that?
No.
Super secret location?
No, we haven't been told yet.
Are you going to be told?
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to go?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not going to come see Hollywood Babylon at the House of Blues tonight?
I'm going to see that right before.
We're at 11 o'clock.
Right. So then the Talica show's at 12:30, I think.
Since we're here at the con, let's have some con news. Fox announcing two of their biggest animation properties are going to team up for a crossover episode set to debut next year. It's called The Simpsons Guy. It's an episode of The Family Guy where Peter, Lois, Chris, Meg, Stewie, and Brian take a road trip and find themselves in Springfield face-to-face with their arch-rivals, The Simpsons.
I love that so much.
Homer, apparently, in the synopsis that was obtained by Entertainment Weekly, refers to the Griffins as albinos due to the fact that they're not yellow. Also, Stewie and Bart team up for some shenanigans. Lisa tries to find something Meg is good at. And Marge and Lois do some bonding over being married to two fat losers. I can't wait.
Why do you look at us when you say two fat losers?
No, I'm just saying. All right. 20-year anniversary panel for The X-Files was yesterday, hosted by our buddy Mike Schneider from TV Guide. Chris Carter, Gillian Anderson, David Duchovny reunited to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the legendary TV show. Gillian made the crowd very happy when she said she would be very open to doing a third X-Files film. Both Chris and David seemed interested as well. Who knows if that's going
to
happen?
They would like to see it also. I think they just don't want to make it.
I think there's a lot of pressure to make an X-Files film. I think that's
absolutely
part of the problem.
I would think so.
Do I remember correctly, Ralph, that the first one was really good and the second one not so much?
Well, the first one was in between seasons of the show.
That's
remember?
Right.
It had to do with the black oil. That was that part of the mythology.
That's right.
So it wasn't really judged as a standalone. It was more like a giant episode.
Right.
The second one I liked a lot because it sort of expanded on the relationship of Mulder and Scully.
Yeah, it's just been so long now. It's hard to even put yourself in the headspace of X-Files.
Yeah, it's hard to spend that kind of money on a franchise if you're not sure the audience will come out for it.
Yeah. Right.
But in the world of a Kickstarter response for like Veronica Mars and stuff, you know, the interest maybe out there.
Seems like it.
Right.
The truth is out there, too.
That's true.
And this upsets me. Two and a Half Men. They're losing their half. Angus T. Jones.
The half that doesn't want to be there is gone?
Angus T. Jones, the guy who found God and realized that his show sucked, is no longer on the show.
Hmm.
They're going to replace him. A new character is being brought on. It's going to be the long-lost lesbian daughter of Charlie Sheen's character. She will be joining the show, and Angus T. Jones. They say he may make guest appearances, but he won't be a regular anymore. So much so that they are cutting him out of the opening credits sequence.
So the show that you don't watch at all will now have a different cast for you to not watch?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I just hope they keep that wisecracking maid of theirs. That's all I really care about. Because she says a lot of things about sex. The show's awful. All right. Let's get to celebrity birthday so I can get out of here and start doing some Comic-Con stuff. July the 19th, Campbell Scott is 52 years old today. Anthony Edwards turns 51. Jared Padalecki is 31. And a lot of people give me a hard time because I've been neglecting to mention Benedict Cumberbatch.
Sure.
He's very popular. Also today. He's, of course, Sherlock and Khan, and that lady wants to bone him. So happy birthday to Benedict Cumberbatch.
Special shout out.
That was my nickname in high school, by the Cumberbatch.
No. No, it wasn't.
Well, it was pre personal grooming.
I don't know what it means, but it sounds filthy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off Monday morning. We will be back. Somehow Chris Harrison's on the schedule.
Oh, I can't wait to talk Bachelorette with Chris.
Lars Ulrich, Patton Oswalt, a whole bunch more on Monday. We'll see you then.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned.
Roll another one.
Thanks for that information. How about a little radio silence?
Just like the other one.
Pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
This one seems to be about to quit.
He is certainly entertaining.
And I need another hit.
This was pathetic. It was embarrassing. It was one of the worst performances I've seen in my life.
Speaking, of course, of the Hummer.
Just like the other one.
That looks really hard to me.
This one seems to be about to end.
I just need some babes, man.
I don't have another sense.
You have been told to follow your dreams. What if it's a stupid dream?
It's gonna get nuts.
Just pass it around.
That is a lot of Chick-fil-A.
I just pass it on down.
Oh, boy. This is one of those bad days. I should have stayed in the wrong side of bed.
Bean, can you turn your gain down slightly, please?
Why don't you turn your head down slightly?
Yes. Good one.
Yes.
He gone, and this ball game is over. Yes. Yes. Yes.
On behalf of DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince, thank you, and good night, and good night, and good night.
So who should you turn to fund your lunch?
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.